can only win once for 60 days. You must comply with any age limitations for each contest. For complete contest rules, send a self-addressed stamp envelope to the mighty WJFK, P.O. Box 3649, Washington, D.C., 20007. Thank you, and God bless.
Don and Mike, there'll be no mollycoddling.
Will you see if your mom can give my resume to Dennis Phillips? Because if I could get in a Broadway show, then I would have done it all. Film, television, and theater. The only thing left to be radio. That's just for ugly people.
Everybody loves Don and Mike.
And yes, the rumors are true. They smoke, they drink, they use bad language in mixed company. They're extremely rich, and they can flash more bling than most posses in this room. Rock stars they are, and God bless them for that.
You can call Don and Mike anytime, toll-free, at 1-877-365-3636. That's 1-877-365-3636. They're ready to believe you.
Stop on the run.
Good. Good.
Stop on the run.
Friend.
Stop on the run. Can't stop the run. You can't stop on the run.
Good. Good.
Stop on the run.
It's the Don and Mike Show. And they'll say what they wish.
Where else would you rather be?
Most popular bowler last night.
Yeah.
In Burke, Virginia.
Rob Spiewak.
That's right.
Better called in Burke, Virginia. And good morning, Mr. and Mrs. Mellon and all the ships at sea. Always proud to show up their balls to the fine folk of Burke. And thank ye, it's Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
Thank you, Rob. And hello and thank you for listening, everybody. Don and Mike episode. On a Thursday here. It's a new one. And it's October 18th.
Mm-hmm.
October. I want to make sure you're listening to a fresh show and you know that.
The groove, man.
Here on Thursday, October 18th. Here's the phone number from the most powerful city in the world, Washington, D.C. You call 202-432-1067. Those are the local D.C. lines. And nationally, you call us at 877-365-3636. Love taking your phone calls. And there he is. We'll be discussing him in great depth on today's show.
What an evening.
Phenom Buzz Melwood Burbank.
Hi, Buzz. Hi, Don. Hi, Mike.
There he is. He loves being introduced.
Yes, yes, please.
Yeah, the Gunnerballs played last night.
We improved.
Yeah, we still lost.
Yeah, we got our butts kicked.
We got our asses kicked. But, someone from the other bowling team is on the line already from the Ball Busters, the all-girl team that beat us last night. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hi.
Who is this?
This is Gene.
Hi, Gene.
Hey, Gene.
Hi, how are you guys?
Hi, honey. How are you after last night?
Oh, wonderful.
Did you guys celebrate afterwards?
Yes, we did.
Sounds like it.
Yes, we did.
So, go ahead. You have the opportunity to bust our balls here. How bad are we as a bowling team?
You guys improved, and you're so cute.
No.
Oh. You're so cute.
Oh, so cute.
Now, Gene.
Cute like a big fat puppy is cute.
Cute, yeah.
Well, you guys got a couple turkeys.
Yeah, that's right. Mm-hmm. No, I think Buzz got that. As a matter of fact, Buzz got that's three strikes in a row. We will be discussing that in a moment.
A turkey.
Amazing
me.
Buzz Burbank.
Turkey for you.
But listen, Gene, you and the rest of the Ball Busters could not have been nicer. You girls, you kicked our asses, but you didn't rub our noses in it.
No, it was very nice. It was very, very low-key. It was lots of fun. It wasn't low-key as far as the crowd.
No.
We had kind of a capacity crowd at the Bowl America Center.
Now, listen, when we bowled up in Queens a couple of weeks ago, there were like 30 people there.
Right.
And they were there just watching.
Yeah.
Last night at this thing in Burke, Virginia, there were like 400 people there. And you've not lived until you've tried to bowl while you're being heckled.
Heckled unmercifully.
By 400 yahoos.
Yeah, they were screaming. They were screaming real loud.
They were just out of their minds. The one heckle that cracked me up is when Rob got up one time.
Yeah.
And they would wait until, you know, with all of us, they'd wait until we'd stand there and they'd wait for us to go back. And as soon as you release the ball, that's when they would scream something.
Yeah.
And a group of about 20 guys all at the same time yelled out, Sieg Heil.
See, Kyle, every time Rob would bowl for goal.
And the first time, poor Rob.
Yes.
The ball just careens off to the left.
Oh. Yeah, he was completely phased by it the first time. But then he got used to it. Then he embraced it.
Yeah, and, you know, it's a great chance for us to meet the good people who listen to this show and support this show. And we sure did. Well, I don't know about you, but I felt like I met every single one of the 400 people who was there last night.
Yeah, we got a chance to meet a lot of people, and it was a good time. A good time was had by all.
But, Gene, you and the Ball Busters, congratulations. Yeah. You've made us 0-2.
Thank you. Well, actually, 0-4.
Oh, that's right.
See, we're just counting the team competition, so we're 0-2 as far as teams that we've played.
Well, I had a blast, and everybody that came had an absolute good time.
We had fun, too.
Yeah, you girls are fun. You're great fun.
Very nice.
And thank you for inviting us out. We had a wonderful time.
Oh, we would love to have you back anytime you guys are in the area.
Well, I think, you know, we had such a good time. We're all just going to meet there every Wednesday night from now on, whether we bowl or not.
League night.
Hold on. Hey, listen, thank you, Gene.
Oh, well, thank you, Don and Mike, Buzz, Rob, A. Lisa. It was great to meet all of you.
Nice to meet you girls, too. The Ball Busters, they kicked our ass last night. Here is Embry, who was out at the... last name? Embryo.
Embryo.
Embryo, that's his rap name.
Thanks a lot, Don. Thank you.
Hey, Embryo.
I'm doing pretty good. I'd just like to say, Don, you did a dang good job about dealing with that MF-er last night that was yelling.
Oh, very good.
Okay, so I'll tell you, it was one of the great moments in heckle confrontation.
Yep. Did a great job.
I'm telling you that, you know, we first off, we're bowling for snicks, but really, we don't want to go up there and bowl like 50. You know what I mean?
It was uncalled for.
We at least want to have a respectable score, even though we know we're going to lose and we're playing for fun.
I mean, we know we suck, but at least we want to try to get over 100 points.
And there's one guy in particular, there's a guy who is like just busting balls.
Everybody. I mean, heckling everybody, but heckling you in particular.
And I mean, he's yelling out stuff that's not particularly mean.
And not
I mean,
particularly correct either. Like every time he would heckle me and say, Mike, you need some Grey Goose vodka.
Yeah, right, because Mike doesn't drink the Grey Goose.
Yeah, that's you.
And when I would get up there, he would scream like, Jack Diamond!
Great.
Jack Diamond! He was an awful disc jockey. So one time, and you know, like I said, I don't mind the fact that we were being heckled, but it was real quiet, and then right as you go to roll the ball, that's when this guy would just scream at the top of his lungs.
He'd lay it on you.
So this guy did it one time, and the ball goes way off into the gutter, and it's like, I knocked down three pins, and I turn around, and this is the great thing about vigilante justice, mob mentality.
Yeah.
That this guy, when he had been heckling all of us, he had been, you know, the king of his class. As soon as I turned around and I went up into the stand area,
already knew who it was. You knew that he was easy to spot because everybody was kind of separating themselves.
Yeah, I said, who is it? And like a million fingers pointed this guy. So I said, hey, come on down. Well, I want you to come down, and I want you to finish my frame here.
Uh-huh. Now this is a calculated risk. This is a guy that's in a bowling alley. He may be a bowler, and he might not be just a heckler. You did know that he was probably loaded.
Yeah,
a
little drinking.
So, I mean, there was that, you know, you were playing that card, but I think outside of that, it was a very, very significant gamble on your part as you pointed to him, got the, you know, chant going of effing a-hole.
A-hole and sea-sucker.
And sea-sucker, and then said, take my second ball. They said, well, he can't bowl in his street shoes, so he had to go in his stocking feet.
Yeah. So I wanted the guy to know what it felt like to bowl with, you know, a bunch of people calling you names. And, of course, the crowd turned on him immediately.
It was wonderful. Beautiful thing to see.
The guy gets up there, and like 400 people called him an a-hole and a sea-sucker. And the guy goes to the bowl, and he gets up to the line, and he falls down.
Yeah. Loses his feet.
He loses his feet. He
comes crashing down and throws a gutter ball.
It was triumph. It was a great moment.
It really was.
It was a great moment. But the guy was a decent sport about it. I mean, I made sure I went up and said hi to him afterwards.
Yeah, you actually gave him his props publicly too. Yeah. Gave him the King George kiss.
Yeah,
you know, you blew him a kiss.
I said, you're my man. Just shut the F up when we're bowling.
Well handled,
please, because it cost me 7 pins.
Yep.
And for God's sakes, last night was a tough night for us. Mm-hmm. Although a star emerged, and we're going to be talking about that star in a second.
Yeah, a prodigy.
Listen, glad you were there, Mike. Here we go, another one from the other team last night. I'm sure you remember.
Hey. Come on, guys.
It's Mary Lee.
Mary Lee.
Mary Lee.
Mary Lee.
Hi, Mary Lee. Mary Lee! So, Mary Lee, how was it getting up for work at, what time do you have to be at work today, 7?
You didn't make it.
Oh, you didn't make it to work today.
Didn't make it into work.
Just couldn't make it on time.
Oh, dear.
Just woke up.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, Mary Lee last night was busted, but she was on the other team, right? And she's busting my balls. She's standing there going, let's play one more game. It's like 11:30. And I said, honey, you know, we got to go. We got to get out of here. And she says, I have to work at 7 o'clock tomorrow morning, and I'll play another game.
Mm-hmm.
And I said to her, well, I have to work at 11 o'clock tomorrow morning, and I want to get out of here.
Mary Lee, were you enjoying any adult beverages last night?
I was enjoying quite a few, apparently.
Ah, there you go. Good
Didn't you know she was bombed when she came up and she said, if you guys will bowl one more game, I will flash you.
Really?
I didn't get that.
I didn't hear that.
I didn't hear it either. I would have stuck around.
That's true.
Yeah, no, that's absolutely true.
Well, Mary Lee, and the great thing about Mary Lee is every time that she would get up, as soon as she would throw the ball,
right,
the crowd in unison, they would all yell, Mary Lee!
Mary Lee, and she had a unique style. She was very successful bowler, but had a very unique style, kind of like just getting up to the line and throwing that ball down.
That's pretty much what I do.
That's it.
Well, I don't know nothing.
It was a wonderful meeting you, Mary Lee.
Mary Lee!
Mary Lee!
Mary Lee! And, you know, next time you guys want to play, let us know.
Oh, absolutely.
We're there.
Good. All right.
All right, go to work, honey.
I'm trying.
Okay. All right.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Yeah, did you know that she was so bombed?
I had no idea.
No.
I know she gave us both a nice little kiss.
She was so bombed.
I got a kiss. I got a back rub from one of the ladies.
Oh, you got the back rub from Marion Cooney. What's the lady's name?
Yeah,
the tough bowler.
She was
the one that I was basically side by side all night.
There's this lady, one lady for the other team, when she would bowl her,
it's like
she would squat down like she's going to take a dump,
mm-hmm.
and then she would just kind of roll the ball, and she had that thing that bowlers do when they pose afterwards, like right. one, she was leg one up of
the,
in the air.
They had the core of three Terminators on their bowling team, uh-huh. didn't they? They had the three ladies that were, was there Dawn? Dawn was just a Terminator.
And the little girl in the black shirt.
Yeah, she was
wonderful. Had the wicked hook on her ball.
Yeah, and always seemed to get a strike.
And then there was Mary Lee.
Mary Lee!
Mary Lee, hello, Drew!
Yeah.
Drew.
Hey, Don and Mike.
Hey, Drew, a man who was there.
Yeah, I had a good time last night. I met you guys last night. I shook Don's hand. But, Don, I was really impressed with Lisa winning the first game.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, Lisa is our most improved bowler on the Don and Mike gutter balls. Mm-hmm.
How did Lisa do, Robbie?
You know what? She picked up on her average. This is not just her scores last night. She picked up 21 pins on her average.
Excellent.
Wow.
Bravo.
So she is up to an average of 93. You want to hear the stats? Want to run through them real quick?
Yeah, and then we want to do our highlight. Drew, listen, thanks for coming out last night.
Yeah, I just want to say, I really noticed that Rob really gets intense. He really wants to bowl better.
Yes,
he does. Rob is intense. He throws a heavy ball, too.
Yeah.
All right, thanks, my friend. Thanks for coming out, Drew.
Bye
bye. Okay, Robbie, this the
Drew sounds frightened. The new average lineup, and this we actually will keep our same lineup next week. Mike, your average up to a 115, 11 pin improvement.
Oh, good.
Lisa, 93 with a 21 pin improvement. Mm. Buzz up 3 pins to 99. Wow. Myself up 9 pins to 113. And Don takes a 3 pin tumble to 120. Our set or our combined average is 540.
We all bowled over 100 last night. We won the goal.
Yeah, did very well last night. Our two-game sets, Mike 251, Lisa 229, Buzz 205, myself 243, and Don 234. The first game, we only lost by 170 pins. And game two, Don and I discussed this fatigue factor.
We got tired in the second game.
And we lost by 194 pins.
Wow.
As far as Mark.
194 pins. That's so funny. 200 pins.
If we just had another bowler and a half, we could have won either game. Mike last night with 5 strikes, 3 spares, and a split and 1 double. Way to go.
Thank you. 2 strikes in a row.
Right.
Thank you.
Lisa, 5 strikes, 2 spares, no splits. Buzz, 5 strikes, 3 spares, 1 turkey, Buzz.
That's 3 strikes in a row. We'll talk about Buzz in a second.
Incredible. The kid from Wichita.
Hold on, wait. Hold on,
save it. 3 strikes, 6 spares, Don, 4 strikes, and 5 spares. And
hey, I think we improved a lot.
And you know what really got us, and we can improve on this, is the way we're picking up spares, because you know, we actually only got one less strike than them last night.
Really?
Yeah, so we kept up with them. 22 strikes we had. They had 23.
Wow. Rob loves the stats. But you tell that?
Great, on is they got 40 spares. We got 19. So if we can start throwing a better second ball,
yeah,
we can win this.
All right. Thank you, Rob.
All right. And more drinking.
That'll be next week. We were not able to. They didn't have the hard stuff available.
No.
With the
wheelmen.
With the bowling alley. Yeah, we were all driving ourselves. None of us wanted to have any beer or anything last night.
That would have helped battle the fatigue.
Let's go to Alex, who was a man who was there. Alex.
Hey.
Hey, Alex.
I thought you guys were supposed to suck.
Well, hey, that's nice. Thank you, Alex. That's very nice of you.
As we do suck.
The running total, I'm donating $65 to the Red Cross.
Hey,
all right. Alex is donating
money. I remember you right, Alex. You were going to pay a certain amount of money for every strike.
Lisa broke the bank because I was going to pay $10 for every strike she threw and $5 for every spare, and she got $40 right there.
There you go.
I remember Alex was worried early in the game because he only had like $6 for the Red Cross.
Yeah, well, Alex, thank you for your donation to the Red Cross.
Thank you, guys.
All right, thanks for coming out.
Bye-bye.
Did you give you some money for gutter balls, too?
I think Gladys Kravitz is
paying. I don't have enough.
That's right.
Gladys Kravitz is paying money for gutter ball.
Very good.
Now, next week, let me give you the exciting news. Here we go. Let me get our music going here. Next week, come see the Don and Mike Gutterballs, the most improved team in the history of bowling.
Absolutely.
As we take on the Job Squad.
Oh.
The Job Squad. Next Wednesday night, October 24th, we'll be bowling at the Jersey Lanes in Linden, New Jersey.
Linden, New Jersey!
Jersey Lanes at 30 Park Avenue.
Fantastic. I'm excited about that.
And we'll be bowling at 8 p.m.
Ah, good. A reasonable time.
8 p.m. That's next Wednesday night. Gutterballs versus the Job Squad.
The Job Squad.
That's at Jersey Lanes in Linden, New Jersey.
They sound like they might be tough.
Yeah. Here's the real story of last night. You know, everybody has a highlight. Everybody has something they did that was great. But all the spotlight today is on Buzz, who, let's face it, he is the weak sister of our bowling team.
The prodigy was born.
Last night, Buzz, before we get into the whole thing here.
Right.
Just let me tell you, Buzz was either feast or famine. Mm-hmm. It was either
right.
Buzz would throw strikes, or he would throw incredibly retarded-looking gutter balls.
Right.
At one point in the second game, Buzz comes out, and guess what? The bowlers call a turkey.
A turkey.
Three strikes in a row.
Right.
Buzz working on a perfect game.
First three frames, it was a perfect game so far.
Incredible. Buzz was, last night, the man, the MVP for our team. And Buzz, we're going to do a little impromptu tribute now.
Excellent.
To you.
A cold night in October. A man stands in a bowling alley. The man known as Buzz Melwood Burbank. Yes, Melwood. Named for the home for the mentally challenged due to his inability to find the pins on the bowling legs. But this night would be different, for Buzz Burbank came to play. That's right. Three strikes in the second game. Buzz Melwood Burbank, the kid from Wichita, the man with a hole in his stomach, if you will, still losing on some occasions, the man with fatigue coursing through his body as his advanced age became a late-inning liability. But no, it was not to be, for Buzz Burbank came on strong. That's right, this man, just a man, three strikes, mowing down the pins in an unprecedented show of strength. Where did he get it from? We don't know. For God's sakes, he doesn't even know the rules of the game.
And what do you mean by that?
That means that Buzz Burbank would throw a strike and then daftly stand up on the bowling alley waiting to throw his next ball. But Buzz, there is no next ball. You've already bowled a strike. It's time for you to sit down.
What about when Buzz would kneel and meditate when he should be bowling?
What was his strategy? What caused Buzz to knock down so many pins last night?
In the feast of famine meditation, he would kneel before the ball, and he would wait his turn. We don't know how he did it. Was it an acid flashback? Was it some sort of clueless marijuana high? We have no idea. All we know is that Burbank was hot. Three strikes, a turkey, ladies and gentlemen, and then it was feast of famine, because after the three strikes, Buzz Burbank reverted back to his former form.
Yes.
The form that results in balls going into the gutter both right and left. That's right. The right gutter ball, normally the more disastrous of the two, as Buzz's elbow practically caves in on his follow-through, bends backwards, appearing like a piece of overcooked spaghetti.
Oh, and has he participated in the sports at all throughout his life?
This kid from Wichita never participated in any organized form of sport.
No.
None whatsoever. The man who shies away from any athletic endeavor whatsoever. Oh, yes, he'll occasionally work out on his health rider, but there really is never a regular athletic regimen. That's why they were all amazed. All amazed at a small bowling alley in Burke, Virginia, as Buzz Burbank showed his moxie. He showed what the kid from Wichita could do. He showed what Buzz Melwood Burbank could do on those bowling lanes, throwing three consecutive strikes and resulting in himself becoming the most improved gutter ball for the evening. Unbelievable.
Buzz Burbank,
true.
Everybody.
That's right. Melwood, named after Buzz Melwood Burbank, the home for the retarded kids.
Thank you, Mr. Cosell.
You're welcome, Buzz. An incredible evening. Absolutely.
Oh, goddamn.
The man with the Rockport shoes.
Yes.
The aged man. The man whose time may have passed, but no. Three strikes in a row from Buzz Burbank.
Time stopped last night in Burke, Virginia.
Time stopped. And there was the youthful Buzz. That's right. Shedding his decaying body to bowl three strikes in a row. Wowing the crowd. A standing ovation, if you will, for that one shining moment. Buzz Burbank was not 73. He was back to being 21 again. And what a bowler he turned out to be. Buzz Melwood Burbank.
Our tribute to you, Buzz.
Oh, thank you. That was great.
The most improved bowler.
He's just a man.
On the top of my gutter ball. Just a man.
Just a man, flesh and bone. But what a performance it was. Accolades showered on Buzz Burbank.
And hold on, one more thing. Don't forget about the bet.
Ah, the bet. And at one time, O'Mara was discovered, as discouraged as a man can be, Geronimo leaned over to O'Mara after Burbank's third strike and said he would bet him a year's salary that Burbank could not beat O'Mara. And it did prove to be true.
That's true.
As late in the round, Buzz Burbank's arm turned to absolute jello. Right gutter balls, left gutter balls. But no one will ever, in Burke, Virginia, or anywhere in the bowling world for that matter, forget three strikes in a row. Three strikes bowled a turkey from Buzz Wichita Melwood Burbank. An amazing performance for the man who is still losing fluid from the hole in his stomach.
Right now. Last night, Mike and I were sitting at a little scorers thing where you put your name and your score in, and Buzz gets the third one in a row.
And it was Mike, amazing.
Mike looks at me and goes like, God damn it. I said, I will bet you a year's salary.
Yes.
That he folds, you're going to beat him in this game.
I was saying,
well, that's the curse.
I was saying that I could not possibly believe I was bowling as badly as I was.
Yeah.
And I was astonished, as was the crowd, Buzz.
But you had the highest score, and I only came back with one other strike.
It was truly unprecedented.
The most improved
one other strike, as he gets cocky and reminds us that it was not total collapse in the last frame.
Not total.
There was one more bit of energy in that frail, withered body. He pulled it out of his ass and was able to finally bowl another strike. In what frame, Buzz?
I don't know.
I don't know. That's right.
Game.
You don't know the rules either, do you, Buzz?
Now, what's the deal on that? Because I said you had a double at one point where you got to bowl two strikes in a row.
Yes.
And so what determines that?
That was at the end of the game, Buzz.
At the end of the game?
In the 10th frame.
Yeah. Okay, yeah. See, that's new to me.
See, right there.
You finish out the string.
He doesn't know the rules.
No,
a total lack of familiarity
exactly
with any athletic competition rules. Baseball, football,
right.
Bowling,
check.
Golf, anything checkers he might know.
Maybe, maybe not.
Are you a chess player? We don't know. You know how to work that health rider, though.
Yes, I do.
Absolutely.
In my ways.
Buzz Millwood Burbank standing tall before the people of Burke, Virginia. A night to be reckoned with. A cold night in October. The night that Buzz, the kid from Wichita, the elder statesman, if you will, made his mark in bowling history.
Wow. Most improved bowler. We salute you, Buzz.
Thank you. Thank you.
Buzz Burbank. And we want to thank all of the other regulars who came out, of course.
Just people.
Mr. 40.
Uh-huh.
Right, right.
Yes. Where did 40 go? Where did 40 wind up? I mean,
he was still there when I left. Mm. I mean, I stayed for a while longer after you did, and right. He was still there with me, like doing the thing, like got the arms around me, like, yeah. You know, right, right.
Well, he called me a wimp at one point because when I was coming back, you know, we do the high fives, and we haven't gotten it right. I believe that it, and 40 was telling me it should always be
I like doing the fist. I like doing the fist. You knock the fist together.
The worst move is when he puts his hand up and I give him the fist, or vice versa. Then it appears to be the fist being caressed, which just has all sorts of overtone.
Yeah, so 40 was there. Tom the Monster was there.
God.
We had a late appearance by a future pornography star, Dennis Murphy.
Yes, Dennis Murphy was there. Everybody turned out. It was an incredible showing.
Slow Joe came out. Tony Vesey was there.
Absolutely.
All of our friends came out. And again, lots of very nice people. Wonderful. Yeah. A great time meeting all of them. I like doing that even more than a Vegas show, because even though there were fewer people there, like there was only 400 people there to watch.
Right.
As opposed to the 2,000 people come to a Vegas show.
Mm-hmm.
I seriously got to meet like everyone who was there.
Yeah, and I hope people dig that. I hope they do. We had a good time doing it. We really did.
Hello, Tom.
Hey, how you doing, Dynamite?
Tom, we're doing great, thank you.
I'm calling from Eastern Long Island up in New York.
Right, hi, buddy.
Yeah, I want to congratulate you guys on your ratings out here.
Oh, on NEW?
Well, yeah, please, NEW.
That's a little premature on that, but they tell me that they're going the right way.
It was in the Daily News that you guys were up more than Leslie Gold.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
That's a good thing.
Yeah.
I mean, she wasn't really... Actually, she was good, but you guys are definitely better than her.
Well, it's nice that it's in the Daily News.
Yeah. You know, no offense to Leslie, who's a nice person. Yes. But, yeah, thank you, Tom. Thank you, my friend.
And I also want to know when you're coming up here for another bowling tour.
Wednesday night, man. We're going to be in Jersey Lanes in Linden, New Jersey, Wednesday night.
Come on out and see us.
Next Wednesday?
Yes, Wednesday.
Next Wednesday.
All right, Mike.
All right, we'll see you then.
You guys are great, man.
Thanks for the call, Tom.
Okay.
Right. Oh, it's terrific. You know, who's got today's Washington Post? Who's got that? Because... Ahearns did write about the ratings and wrote something that was actually factual in there.
Yes, he did.
About the ratings. Hello, Brian. Don and Mike.
Yeah.
Hi, Brian.
Yeah.
Hey. Hi. Yeah. Look, you're on the air, Brian.
Yeah. We just wanted to tell Don and Mike that you guys rock, and we're from New Phoenix Home Services.
Yes, sir.
Incorporated. We're contractors out of Northern Virginia, and we want you all to know that we'll give you $200 a strike. On your next bowl.
Well, look, I want to tell you that you're gonna lose some money, because we bowled like last night in two games. We had like 20 strikes.
Yeah, we had 20 strikes.
That's cool, though. It's for a great cause.
Wow. You
know? I mean, it's cool. It's for a great cause.
You're serious about that?
That is great.
Yeah.
Oh, we'd love that.
Oh, that's something to shoot for.
What's the name of your business?
New Phoenix Home Services Incorporated.
Is that New Phoenix?
Yeah.
Okay, New Phoenix Home Services Incorporated.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
All right, listen, Brian, thank you. Hold on a second.
Okay.
We'll take that. Are you kidding, man? $200 for every strike for the Red Cross?
It's
something to motivate us. Absolutely. A little pressure next week.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, from today's Washington Post.
Yes.
You know, we told you about the ratings yesterday, and we expected some kind of a weird spin because we've changed our time slots. What does it say? WTOP Tops morning ratings. Powerhouse WJFK. The Guy Talk home of Stern and the Don and Mike Show experienced a ratings dip, likely thanks to the station's dramatic lineup change midway through the period.
Mm-hmm.
Midday host G. Gordon Liddy was fired.
Oh, hold on a second. Where's that tape?
Oh, there. F you, white trash.
Was fired, and perpetual afternoon winners Don and Mike were moved to Liddy's slot, and syndicated New York talkers Opie and Anthony took over the afternoon slot.
Mm-hmm.
It appears Don and Mike were able to carry many of their listeners with them.
Hello.
Very nice
Thank
report.
You. So, yeah, right. Thank you for printing the truth, for goodness sakes. Yeah, Richard Hatch lookalike.
Okay, now, come on, be nice to him.
Frank Ahrens. And I know how to say the dude's name.
Did you pay for dinner the other night?
Frank Ahrens. Mike, CBS paid. CBS paid for dinner. And, oh, yes, listen, I can't tell you how excited they are today at CBS at Block Rock because they've been left out of the anthrax scare. You know that Dan Rather was pissed at, like, saying, how come it goes to Brokaw and how come it goes to ABC? How come we don't have it here?
Yeah.
Well, now, today, great news at CBS.
Way to go, CBS.
Got the anthrax. Someone at CBS who works for Dan Rather's got the anthrax.
Very good.
And it's the skin thing.
You know what I was really glad to hear about that, seriously, for a second, is the guy in Florida, the 70-year-old guy that had the inhalation kind of it, that they expect him to make a full recovery.
Yeah, isn't that amazing?
That is really good news.
They think that's a big advance in the treatment of anthrax. They weren't expecting to have that kind of luck.
That's good.
Right. I think most people, if they take... now, the antibiotic is called Cisco.
Cipro is one of them. But
Cisco.
There are others.
Cisco, who's also one of my favorite singers.
There you go.
If you take the Cisco...
Cisco.
If you know, you can knock that baby out.
Yeah, they say that some of the stuff works with any antibiotic.
Yeah, that's true. Absolutely.
And that's good news, and I wish that everybody would lay off on, like, the breaking news about... I mean, I feel bad for whoever it is in the CBS newsroom that's contracted this skin anthrax, but, you know... Like you said, only one guy has bought the farm thus far.
But I was watching Letterman last night, and he had that lady, I think it's Judith Miller from the New York Times, who wrote the book Germs, and wrote a book on bioterrorism before I think all this stuff came out. And, you know, she said she's optimistic. I mean, she said it's this is very difficult stuff, and, I have confidence in people that we're going to be able to deal with
it. And I think that we should maybe stop worrying about anthrax and start worrying about what else they might be doing.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I hope they're doing that.
But that's another story. Oh, I want to read something that was in the Post today, the New York Post. I guess I'll do it in the next break, about Rudy Giuliani, that maybe started to lose his mind a little bit, and who can blame the guy?
Oh, really?
Too much pressure? Yeah, I guess I'm going to have to get the text. I was reading it in the paper this morning that Sunday he's at a briefing where they're asking him questions about the anthrax and stuff, and all of a sudden, he some guy says to him, so how are you preparing New York for the threat of biological weapons? And he says, anybody got the Giants score? And then they keep asking him questions, and then he says, oh, the Yankees last night, that was a hell of a game.
That's funny.
It's like they're asking him questions, and he's kind of just ignoring them and talking about sports.
Good for him. Yeah, he's probably doing it by design, or do they, I mean, what did the Post say?
I'm going to pull the thing up, and they think he's going a little nutty. Listen, this is truly great news, that Twisted Sister is reuniting.
Oh, thank God.
For a benefit for the WTC, the survivors.
Yes, very good.
Families that, thank God, Twisted Sister is getting back together. So now we know
everything will be fine.
The families will be well taken care of.
America Absolutely. United.
Yeah. Oh, that's good.
They've said the Red Cross has raised upwards of $1 billion, and this might result in another billion.
Oh,
alone.
Oh, and listen, that was my favorite not heckling heckle that we got last night from the people when we would bowl. When one of us would bowl a ball that was, in fact, good, you hear 400 people all at once go, good. And then, like, when a gutter ball would go, you'd hear, bad.
The crowd chanting, Frankenstein chants. Unaffected was Buzz Burbank.
Not good.
Not good.
Hello, Donna Mike Show.
Yeah, hi, this is the MF-er from last night.
Oh, are you the guy that actually came out and took the rest of the frame for me?
Took the spill.
Oh, man, I tell you, that was a calculated risk. And,
hey, man, what can I say? I was in my socks and had a little too much evening prior to coming out.
Well, I know that you had like a gallon of courage the way you were running your mouth out there.
How did your head feel this morning?
Pretty bad. Woke up on a friend's couch and had to make it to work this morning.
Well, you made it to work. That's amazing.
Hey, I'm here. I'm bright-eyed, bushy-tailed.
All right.
Well, listen, you were a relatively good sport last night.
Well, appreciate the entertainment, guys.
All right. Thank you.
Hey, not a problem. You guys take care. Rock on.
I'm glad you made it to work. Make sure you put cheese on the cheeseburger.
burgers.
Are you the same guy? Are you the same dude that Lisa said to me that when she first arrived that some drunk guy came up and was screaming at her? I thought you were black.
I didn't. She sounds black on the radio.
Oh,
like,
my God, that was you.
That was that guy. It's the same guy.
Yeah, he just covered it all. He was the guy that did everything.
I thought she was black.
Would you guys rather me not come out?
No, you had. You know, you made for a good story.
No, you're a good guy.
Friend.
Hey, long-time listener.
All right.
Big fan.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
Take care, guys.
Bye-bye. See you later.
I think everything ended up, it was a happy ending with that dude.
Uh-huh. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, guys.
Hi.
Hey, last night I was in a pharmacy, and a woman in front of me, she was trying to get Cipro, and the pharmacy was all out of it. I'm just wondering if people are trying to self-medicate themselves now.
Oh, yes. Yeah. People are hoarding it.
Yeah,
idiots are doing that. And, I mean, not only is it the wrong thing to do for the country, but it's the wrong thing to do for yourself.
I mean, Jesus Christ. I mean, am I not wrong? If you don't have the anthrax and you take that stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the good news about this.
Can you F yourself up if
yeah,
if
you can take it? You can get an immunity, and you can get a resistance if you take too much of the stuff over a long period of time. Like all antibiotics, you can develop a resistance, and they don't do the work that they're supposed to do if you take them for the wrong reasons. The good news about this is that all of these anthrax situations have been handled by the proper authorities,
right.
And when the proper authorities determine that you've got this crap, you get the Cipro that you need.
What pharmacy were you in?
CVS in New Jersey.
CVS. And did the lady have a prescription?
Yeah, and she was kind of freaking out, too.
See, what I want to know is, who are the doctors who are writing the prescriptions? I mean, because if people are, I think, shouldn't the rule be if you got the anthrax, you get the prescription?
Yes, it is.
Or is it that thing off the internet we were talking about?
Well, that too, but in this case, she probably got it from a doctor, and a common problem with doctors is they can't say no to their patients. Rather than explain to the patients
When can I meet one of these doctors? You know, I've said this for years
I'll hook you up.
When am I going to meet one of these doctors that you just call up and go, hey, doc?
I had my doctor tell me no when I... Remember when I was going to take my happy pills that Rob takes when he flies?
Right.
And I went in and I said I'd like that. You know, I was going in for like a strep test. I thought I might have had strep throat.
Right.
And it came back negative. And I said, so incidentally, you know, I'm going to be flying over, you know, across the country. Is there a chance you'd give me some of this stuff? What's that stuff you take, Rob?
Ativan.
He said, no, you have to come back for a full physical for that first. And then... So you basically was saying, you know, I'm not just going to dole out a prescription to you. And I think that's what responsible physicians do.
Well, I hope
do.
You never go see him again.
Oh, no, he's fired.
Yeah. All right. Hey, listen,
Andrew. That's what they're afraid of.
Thank you. And for any of our Asian listeners out there, want to know, we do have the Japanese knockoff.
Yeah.
Nipro. As opposed to Cipro. We got lots of Nipro.
It's just as good.
Yeah.
In fact, it might be better.
Because it's made by Japanese students who are so much smarter than American students.
The only problem is it's 2 hours after you take it, you're hungry again.
All right, Nipro. Let's clear the lines and get a caller 100 here. Owen, I got to tell you, I got exciting news. I'm on alert right now. I know that you know America is on alert.
Amen.
But I am on personal alert, and we'll tell you about that in a second. Call 100 first at 877-365-3636. Good luck. We'll be right back, okay?
This is the Don and Mike Show.
A bitter cold night. The Giants, with a victory against the Eagles tonight, could reduce the edge to a half a game. I'm not on camera now. Where? In Philadelphia, at Franklin Field. The score, the New York Football Giants 13, the Philadelphia Eagles 9.
God damn it.
Right.
The Don and Mike Show.
So Halloween's getting very close, and attention, New York. Oh, you've been the lucky city selected to win thousands of dollars next week when we give guys and girls the opportunity to have sex with pumpkins. That's right, real pumpkins.
Right.
Real men and real women.
Incredible.
Having coitus with them.
Real sex.
We're going to be giving away some of the $6,000 we've been given to blow on our listeners. Courtesy of Sibley Wireless, Sprint PCS.
2,500 clear wireless minutes for $39.99 a month. Everybody go to simplywireless.com.
They're simply charming, don't you know?
Thank them very much for being our sugar daddy and bankrolling the show. That's next week. We're going to start soliciting for that pretty quick here to get guys and girls to come down and have sex with pumpkins.
Fascinating.
Sex to completion with pumpkins.
Oh, God.
The chance to win thousands of dollars.
My God.
Hello, Donna Mike Show.
How you doing?
Hey, great. You're the 100th caller.
God bless.
There you go. What's your name?
Jeff.
Hey, where are you from?
Bronx, New York. Players.
My friend, you've won the 26-week rental card from Blockbuster. That means a free DVD every week for 6 months.
God bless.
That's a good prize.
God bless.
Vote for your favorite NFL All-Star players, the 2002 Pro Bowl, at your local Blockbuster. And let me be the first to say, how about those Yankees? Huh?
Yankees! Wow.
The Yankees! Go Yanks!
How about those Yankees?
Give away some tickets.
Give away some tickets. Yeah, I like to get some tickets.
You gotta go see Sal and Vinny for some tickets.
Sal and Vinny. All right, thank you. Hey, thanks for listening. Hold on just a second.
I gotta explain. So, my wife, I think I finally got through to her why she's been a little upset with my change of direction as far as baseball is concerned.
You're rooting for the Yankees
now?
She
doesn't understand it. And I said, you know, I think I finally explained it to her that, you know, this is one particular circumstance where, you know, the city has had a rough fall. And this is, you know, this is the Yankees, you know, doing it for New York. And I can't help it.
You're a trade of them, Mike.
But I'm not, though. I mean, I'm not. I will go back
to my
loyalty. But
you're a traitor to Yaz the Fag.
But, I mean, it's not traitor. It's really just...
The Glastonbury Golden Boy.
I can't help it. And I've never experienced this in my life. I mean, I didn't think there were, you know... It's horrible what had to happen for me to feel this way about the Yankees, but I really do feel that way.
Mike O'Mara, a lifetime Red Sox fan.
This is not a permanent condition. I just want to remind
you. Does anyone remember the Boston Tea Party? He's now called Benedict Arnold O'Mara.
No, don't go that far, please.
As he roots for the legendary pinstripes of the New York Yankees.
You know, it's not something you can control. It's not something you can identify. It is a natural emotional response.
Michael Jameson O'Mara.
Yeah, that might have had something to do with it, too.
Is now a Yankees fan. Oh, listen, I got the thing about Giuliani.
All right, very good.
All right, and this is not from, like, the Post or the Daily News. This is from the Times, a real newspaper. The headline, Rudy Giuliani might be breaking down.
Oh, no.
Okay, Sunday. In a press conference, and a reporter says, and this is all absolute quoted text.
Okay.
The reporter says, there's a suspicion in Edison, New Jersey, of a Ford worker that perhaps was exposed to anthrax. Can you update us on the status of that? Giuliani then replies, can someone update me on the Giants score? You got the Giants score, Steve? Are the Giants winning? Good, good, good. And we've got a big Yankee game this afternoon. Unbelievable game last night. Unbelievable. I almost got a heart attack. That's a quote from Giuliani. So now the reporter...
He's a real fan. He's so real.
So now the reporter starts to continue, right?
Right.
He says, Mr. Mayor, there was a report this morning that... dot, dot, dot. The mayor cut the reporter off. And he says, can you imagine what Mariano Rivera must be like? Giuliani then follows, he probably has, like... ice water in his veins.
So, you know, he's a real, which apparently he is. I mean, he's got heat because he's not the biggest Mets fan in the world.
Right. That's cool.
It's pretty funny.
They're asking him all these questions, all these serious questions, like about the anthrax, and all he wants to know is, are the Giants winning? Good, good, good. And we got a big Yankee game tonight.
That's funny.
Oh, Rivera, he's got ice water in his veins.
He's either crazy or crazy like a fox.
That's
right.
That's funny. I love that. And, okay, I told you about Twisted Sister already.
Yes.
All right, here is my announcement. I am on alert.
Yes.
Rob, I need the alert sound effect, please. Do we have this? No, not that. Give me the real alert sound effect. Not the timpani. Yeah, no, not that one either.
Aruga?
Yeah, where's that, like that, you know, that emergency horn?
Aruga! Aruga!
Find that thing, because I am on alert, ladies and gentlemen. Well, while Rob finds the sound, let me take a call. Hello, Donna Mike Show.
Oh,
Dan Rather calling.
Dan Rather's assistant calling.
That's pretty nasty to hear that. That's a good one. Yeah, he's got some real lung butter in there.
Mike, what you're listening to is a tape of me waking up this morning.
And he's gone.
Thank you. No.
Oh. Oh.
Hey, Rob, you got that tape yet?
But yet, the Phoenix rises from the ashes this evening from Franklin Field in Philadelphia. Oh, that's bad.
Oh, that hurts.
Oh, oh, that is horrible. That is that is so real.
This is good smoke.
Oh, my.
All right, come on. Now, work up one other good one for us.
He's gone.
Nope.
Oh, that's too bad.
He supplied a little joy,
and
he's gone.
Like the wind.
You find it, Rob?
I did.
Here we go. All right.
I didn't sell him that either.
I'm on alert. Donnie on alert. I'll tell you why in just a moment. And I'm on alert, as a matter of fact, in 5 minutes.
Oh, why?
This is my last 5 minutes of downtime before I go on alert. There you go. Thank you, everybody.
Yeah.
Because yesterday afternoon in the office after the show,
yes,
I get an emergency call from my wife who says, who wants to be a millionaire? Just call the house.
Oh, that's right. So is today Mankind's taping?
Today and tomorrow.
Wow.
Oh, fantastic. So Frida says, oh, wow, we got to save here with this thing out of control.
I mean, dive, dive, dive.
What the hell?
Sounds like that guy coughing.
Enough of that. So Frida calls, and she says, oh, my God, who wants to be a millionaire? Just call. The girl Jennifer says, yes, call back right now.
He's a man of his word, that Mankind is.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Mick Foley. So I call back, and I say, hi, it's me, Don. And she says, oh, you're Mick Foley's number one lifeline.
Hey, there you go.
For Who Wants to Be a Millionaire. And then I'll say, here's how the drill goes. She says, do you mind if I record our conversation? And I say no. And she says, will you be available to take the call from Mick on a variety of topics? You are his number one lifeline.
Wow.
I said, yes, absolutely. She says, today, Thursday, and tomorrow, Friday. Today from noon till 5, and tomorrow from 11 to 4.
Wow, that's a long. Boy, they have a long taping.
Oh. Yeah, and I'm not going to sit around all day with my thumb up my ass waiting to call. I mean, I gave him the hotline number.
Right.
And I said to her, if it's in the middle of the show, can I take the call on the show? She said, no, because the rule is that if I'm used as Mankind's lifeline,
right,
that I have to keep it a secret as to what happens on the show. And they kind of make you promise to do that, or you can't be a lifeline.
So you can take the call off the air.
Yeah, I mean,
you can go to the back of the studio.
Yeah, I can stand right here and just do it off mic.
Yeah.
But what I don't want to do is, especially since he's playing for charity.
Right.
What I don't want to do is do it enough on the, if it even happens.
Right.
To do it on the air so I'll screw things up for
exactly.
him.
Exactly. No. Right.
You don't want to spoil it. She was telling me, I said, what categories? And she said, can't tell you.
Right.
There's a variety of categories, but you are,
category?
You are Mick's number. Well, I didn't
think she was going to do well. We have men in football.
No, I didn't know if she was going to say, selected you to be his sports expert
right.
or his pop culture expert.
Well, I think it's generic, right?
Yeah, she just said, we got a list of people. And
but I've never heard number one. When Rob did his, wasn't he number three or something
yeah,
like that?
I'm the number one lifeline.
And Rob got called.
I'm the number one lifeline for me.
Or did you not get called?
No, remember, they called some
other
guy.
You got screwed.
But that guy on Billionaire ended up giving Rob some of the $250,000 he won.
Right.
Oh, that's
I still got cash, so I made out just
how
fine.
How much money did he give you out of that?
Did he give you 10%? Like,
no, it wasn't. It was 1%, like $2,500.
$2,500.
Mm-hmm. Not bad. And then we had that guy from Brooklyn who was on Who Wants to Be a Millionaire, one of the first big winners, right?
He was the first big winner.
Yeah. Right. What will happen is of course he will because it's a charity one. When Mick goes to the chair, they will call you and have you standing by. And they'll tell you, don't answer the phone until it rings like 3 times so it's easier to edit and that you can't tell anyone about it and you can't be on the air. And it's very, very nerve-wracking and very exciting.
Very cool.
How funny is that? So today I've got to, I gave him the hotline number
mm-hmm.
right here during the show. And then I had to grab another phone because I got to go to the doctor later today. And my hope is that,
I'm there at the doctor's office, wouldn't that be great at the doctor's office?
You're the lifeline just as he's making you cough?
Yeah. Excuse me, doc, but who wants to be a millionaire is on the line for me.
What if he makes you cough? You know, what if the call comes in right as the doctor's signing the bar?
So that's my news. I am, in fact, on alert in 2 minutes.
Well, this is terrific that he has been a man of his word.
Yes.
And I thought he's that kind of guy.
Yeah,
he is. Stand-up guy.
Well, you know, I know he is, too, and he's a great guest, Mick Foley, Wrestling's Mankind. And I said to him on the air that day, last night, he just said, let me be a lifeline. He was like,
right. Sure, I don't care.
But then he got into it.
Mm-hmm.
He sent his girl back in to get all my phone numbers, and I'm blown away yesterday. I hang up the phone, I'm like, God damn.
He's super into it, I could tell. He's very into having you be his lifeline.
Wait till he finds out that he's got a retard as his lifeline.
That's right.
I mean, he's going to be much better off doing 50-50 or ask the audience.
Right.
He'd be better flipping a coin than having me as his lifeline.
Depends on the question.
Incredible, though, you know.
No, it depends. Please, Buzz, no matter what the question is,
you know,
I guarantee.
Don't they, when they call his lifelines, don't they, on the other end, don't they sometimes say, the airspeed of a African swallow is, don't they repeat it? So what I'm saying is, you know what I mean? If
I'm not going to go with head. It's going to be my stupidity.
Okay,
that wins or loses it for Mick Foley.
All right. Okay, I was just saying if you do it like that, you know, so we can go. You know, I'm sure all the lifelines do that.
But what if the question was like, if Batman wore a football jersey,
right?
And then
that's up my alley,
right? I mean, he's got, I guess, what, 5 lifelines,
right?
And if one of them falls in your wheelhouse.
Yeah, but my wheelhouse is very limited. Here's my wheelhouse: television shows, Batman, football,
Star Trek.
But they ask questions about stuff like that.
And Star Trek is double dipping because that is also a television show.
That's right, so I've really only got three wheelhouses.
I would say you should give yourself a broader category. Pop culture, you'd probably be pretty
good. Yeah, I do all right at that.
And it's not movies. Like you're going to know the stuff that Al Snow would know.
But if it's but if the question is like something about geography or something,
he wouldn't call you.
Man, I'm screwed.
He probably has.
Let's analyze the man for a second, all right?
The man knows how to promote himself, and he knows how to get people to get things
done. But the circles that he travels in, I would say that Don is his number one lifeline, because there's an outside shot that Don is the brightest guy he knows.
Well,
I mean, Rob, let's be honest. He is a wrestler, okay? I know he's promoted himself very well, but he writes wonderful books. But, you know, come on. I think that Don's his number one guy. I think
And that's a sad state of affairs if I'm the number one lifeline. The dumb guy's the number one lifeline.
You're the number one lifeline because he will go to you with his most difficult, perplexing question. We just have to hope that it's something that, you know, I bet he's not all that up on pop culture.
I have to hope it's like a dumb question.
Right.
You know states and capitals. You've got all those memorized
But they never ask it. That's like a $100 question, though. You know, the states and capitals.
It's celebrity stuff, so it might be dumbed down a little bit.
Yeah, but by the time they get to $32,000, which is where the audience, the other stars are not allowed to help, that's when the questions get harder.
Wouldn't you put the wrestler in early, too? Wouldn't you have the wrestler on early in the show and then work your way up to, you know, some of the other people that are in
there? It's the fastest finger, though.
He's got to win
He's got to win.
But they all get in, right?
Yeah, eventually they do.
Unless they do biggest finger. Then he will be first.
All right, so I am on alert, everybody. Just keep that in mind that I'm now 1 minute into my official Mick Foley Millionaire Lifeline alert.
You know, it was exciting when Rob was doing it. It's more exciting now. This is going to be a lot of fun.
Hello, Don and Mike.
Hey, how you doing?
Hey, we're doing great.
Hey, about the war and everything, I have a question for you, if you guys know the strategy at all.
Of what?
If France were to invade Poland from the rear, would Greece help?
Oh, come on. Get out of here. Hello, Don and Mike. Hello.
Yes, it would.
Hello.
But buddy.
Hey, you, sir.
Hey.
Hello.
Hey, how you guys doing?
We're doing great, thank you.
Hey, I'm calling from Spokane.
Well, let me give phone numbers out. I keep telling them, I'm not doing that enough. 877. Hold on, please,
right.
Sir. Bear with me.
Come on.
877-365-3636. Local number is 202-432-1067.
Why are you hanging me?
Okay. Hi. Yeah.
Hey, we're jacked over here because we finally get back involved in the show come November 5th.
You know, everybody that calls from Spokane, most of the people that call sound like Mark Rippon to me.
Mark's from Spokane.
A great quarterback. He's my buddy.
A great quarterback, and you have that same kind of, you know, you get that same synchronization in your way of speaking.
Borderline Wisconsin, almost.
Yeah, borderline Wisconsin, but kind of like, gonna do that.
We're just excited out here because the station's going to run you live starting the 5th. Well, and
congratulations. Congratulations. That's smart thinking by radio station KJRB. And that is our
K-Fan, whatever K-Fan. They go by.
Yeah.
I'm kind of, they're dyslexic, I think. I don't know.
And I don't know why, you know, let me explain this to you. There's a station in Seattle, the call letters are KJR.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like a legendary station. And the company owns a station in...
Hey, Jenny.
They own a station in, where's this guy
Spokane?
From?
Spokane,
yeah.
Spokane, Washington.
And it's like a sister station, KJRB.
Right?
Okay. But they don't call it KJRB.
They ought to call it the gerbil.
They call it KFAN.
Any station with three letters in their thing has been around a long time. And they should be legendary.
But even, you know, KFAN has nothing to do with KJRB. But listen, I'm getting behind my point here. The point is, they're picking up the show for the live feed.
And you're on alert, Don.
And that's great. That's right.
Well, I hope I didn't interrupt the show, but I just had to call because I heard it yesterday, and I'm excited.
Yeah, so are we, and thank you, my friend.
Okay.
Can't wait.
It's unprecedented. Mick Foley goes to his lifeline with the $100 question.
Good.
Oh, that's pressure. That is that's true pressure. Oh, and I got more pressure tonight, too, when I get home, because tonight I'll be getting a phone call, speaking of Wisconsin.
Yes.
From my brother.
Tonight
is the night. It's on him.
Oh.
I have officially invited him.
Oh, wait a minute.
To spend the weekend.
He's not coming, is he?
No, I don't know. I swear to God, I don't know.
I was just wondering. You seem to... I don't know whether you'd be... You'd have an extra spring in your step if, you know, whether it was the ratings or there was something where you seemed a little bouncy today.
No, I'm in a good mood. I enjoyed the bowling last night. Right. I'm excited about the Mick Foley thing.
And you don't know whether he's coming yet.
No, I don't. And I can't call him because his phone is disconnected.
So only when you get the 100% confirmation will you be in the mood that will set the tone for the weekend.
Correct. I'm not BSing you about this. Let me call my wife.
And I don't think you'd be all that bummed. You kind of look forward to seeing him.
Yeah. Yeah.
He can listen, though, can he? In Madison?
I don't know if he can get the station in Madison where he lives in Wisconsin. I don't know. Well, we're on 100X in Madison. And it's a live clear. And, of course, no one's home at my house. Of course not. Why would they be home?
He's probably going to come, like, with a big backpack.
I was just going to tell you, because my wife is also living on the, teetering on the edge, because, well, if my brother comes for the weekend, there's a 100% chance my wife will go to her mother's house for the weekend.
Wow.
So
everything's hinging, and it's already Thursday.
Everybody needs to know, and you know, there's the Redskins play on Sunday, and then we got tickets for the game, and, you know, and my kid wants to take a friend to the game,
mm-hmm.
and all of this hinges on if my brother shows up or not,
right.
Then I'll take my brother to the game. So, big, exciting news tonight at my home. I'll let you know.
Very good. But
tomorrow, I'll let you know my brother's decision, because it's on him. I have given him the full opportunity to come out, fly him out tomorrow, fly him back on Monday.
So, conceivably, you could be on with Mick Foley on Who Wants to Be a Millionaire, and your brother could call and say he's coming all in the same 24-hour period.
Could happen.
Wow.
Could happen. Wow. Tim.
Hey, how you doing, guys?
Hi, we're doing great. Tim is a cop in Jersey City. Hi there.
Okay, man, on the beat out here.
Hi, well, good.
We had people come up to me saying, how about that Amtrak scare?
Yeah, you know, I don't want to, you know, put a slam on Jersey City, but Johnny lives there, our guy up in New York. He says he calls it Terror City.
That's not true. That's not.
I'm just joking.
The Amtrak is the local train service up here, so I think she got a little confused on that issue.
He says people are asking him about the Amtrak scare.
Oh, the Amtrak.
When they mean to say Amtrak scare.
Oh, I gotcha.
Oh, now I understand.
I gotcha.
All right, you guys have a good one.
Hey, listen, Tim, you're on duty right now?
On and off, sir.
Are you in your vehicle?
No.
That's too bad. We love to hear the siren.
We're not allowed to do that.
Do you see any suspicious-looking characters today?
No, not around here. This is a great town.
Now might not be the best time to be firing off sirens for no apparent reason.
Yeah.
I guess it's out of question that you'll just
just let a couple of rounds go in the sky for us?
No, we got our priorities. We're here.
All right. Thank you,
Tim.
Right,
you're doing good work. Keep up the good job.
Yeah. Thanks, Tim.
Take care, guys.
All right. Thanks for the call.
Yeah, now I feel real guilty about that little Terror City joke, you know. Hey, you know, I remember the whole thing with Patterson, you know, when the police chief called us.
Terry,
reminds
me, hey, Lisa, have you ever tried to get back in touch with that police chief from Patterson to find out if he's going to sue the morning zoo disc jockey?
I've got a call in. I can call again right now.
Yeah, sure.
Spagnola,
sure.
Right?
Please do. I know. We got to break. One more call, Rob. Hi, Don and Mike Show.
Don Geronimo?
Yeah, I am Mike O'Mara.
This is Regis Philbin.
Oh, get out of here. Listen, I got a tape for you.
That was great.
Great impression.
Really good.
I got a tape I want to play for you next. And it's something that we've looked forward to for a long time on the show. For years and years and years, we've played the Elvis tape.
Right.
Where Elvis is effed up on stage.
Mm-hmm.
You know the one about the knee bone connected to the thigh bone.
It will fascinate you.
Right. Listen, Jack. You can't get pregnant with a Polaroid.
I got sick in the hospital. I'm not strung out on anything except music.
Freaks that carry your luggage up to your room.
My maids, Jack.
My doctor. My doctor, my daughter. If I find
or hear
of the people that are perpetuating this, I will rip their
tongue out by the roots.
By the roots.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. And it's like, and he says, God damn, a couple of
times. What he's doing is he, not only is he denying any involvement with drugs, but he is wasted while he's denying it.
Yes.
And he's also stopping one of his shows in Vegas to like, burden the audience with this for the entire time.
Well, this is exciting because a gentleman, and I'll have his name and we'll come back, sent in a bootleg. It's about 90% of the entire concert.
Hey, you might remember during the last Elvis Death Day show, I was reading you some transcripts of the prequel to the tapes that we have, the rare tapes we have of effed up Elvis. We now have virtually the entire monologue.
Oh, that's incredible.
Well, is that the paternity suit and drug monologue? That stands alone, and we have that in its entirety. But now we get to hear about Judy Spreckles, who is the sugar heir.
Remember when I read you the stuff out of the book where Elvis allegedly is on stage effed up talking about how even though he divorced Priscilla, they're still the best of friends.
Oh, yeah, sure.
And he bought another lady a Rolls Royce, and some girl made him rings, and he wants her to stand up in the audience.
Oh. Yeah, he's just totally out of control.
You haven't lived until you've heard about his liver biopsy.
Oh, all right,
man.
And where he's wearing the belt, and he says, is the guy, you got to come cut me out of this belt or he's going to castrate me.
It's pretty remarkable, and something that's worthy of note is that he's okay for like the first 25 minutes of the concert, and I'm thinking, what would cause this turnaround?
Yeah, Rob and I are listening to this tape yesterday, and you can hear where he is lucid and where he is making this point, and all of a sudden at once
he loses it.
It's like all the drugs kick in.
That's right.
It's like all the pills kick in.
Oh, Elvis just keeps on giving.
It's really magical. It's like finding a B-side to a 45 you never know you had.
So we got that tape?
Yes. Oh, yeah.
We got that ready? Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Well, we'll do that. One more call. Hello, Don and Mike. Which line? Line 4? Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hi. This is Tom. Am I there?
Yeah, Tom. Hi.
All right. I'm calling to say that there's a funeral coming by right now, 106.7. A guy named Jason Dingus is a big fan of the show. And just like you guys, give him a shout-out.
Shout-out? He's dead.
Well, I mean, just... You know, tell the people that are coming by.
Well, are they specifically coming by here?
Yeah.
Like driving by here on the way to the cemetery?
Yes, they are.
What time?
Right now, driving by right now. Coming by, leaving the funeral.
Right,
take
a break and go on.
Someone open the windows.
Open the window. I mean, which way are you going?
Are you going down Main Street?
North or south?
What?
We're just going to go straight by, headed west, I guess. Down Main Street.
Now, are you guys
detectors going?
Are you guys doing this alleged funeral procession because the guy liked the show so much, or is this just the
No.
This is just the way to the cemetery.
Just the way going by that. I just wanted everybody to say hi to everybody.
Is it the cemetery on Judicial?
I don't know.
All right. Well,
excellent.
Open up the window.
I don't buy this for a second.
Open the windows. Let's see.
What's your name, sir?
My name is Tom.
Tom what?
Tommy Two-Tone. I'm Tom
Wire. Tom
Wolfat. This total crap.
Well, open the windows. Let's see if the funeral procession is driving by or not.
Well, there's no funeral procession
right
now.
We're coming by.
Oh, you haven't left yet, but you're coming by.
Mm-hmm. Oh, all right. Well, call us when the stiff gets here.
Call me when his condition worsens.
Man, that's tough.
All right, bye-bye. Bye-bye.
He puts the fun in funeral.
Tommy Two Tone.
Hey, Tommy Wopat.
Jack.
Remember, you can't spell funeral without F-U.
That's right.
We will be right back. If the guy's dead, I'm sorry, but, yes. You know, and if he's dead, good, because you don't have to deal with that guy as a friend anymore. Because, yeah. Frankly, who needs some dope like that?
On to a better place.
Okay, we got a break.
Oh, yeah. Good.
More show coming. The Elvis stuff coming next.
This is the Don and Mike Show. Good. You can call Don and Mike anytime, toll free at 1-877-365-3636. That's 1-877-365-3636. They're ready to believe you. Good.
Yeah, or you call the local line to 202-432-1067.
It's where the chicken contributes and the pig makes a commitment. The Don and Mike Show.
As soon as we went to break, Joe Artinger came running in the studio and said, "Hey, man, look outside. It's a funeral procession passing the station."
Sure enough. Yep. So our props go out to that guy. I don't remember his name.
Me either.
We were too busy dealing with the other guy who was, he just was lacking credibility. I feel bad about it if the guy really wanted us to say something. Will or something. I'm not sure what the...
I don't think it was in his will. I think the guy was just... the dead guy, I think, was just a fan of the show.
Well, good. I'm glad. And, sure enough, it went right by the radio station.
Yeah, like a million cars.
Wow. Yeah, I mean, it was big. Police and everything.
A lot of cars. Well, someone should call us back. Someone maybe who speaks the language a little more clearly.
Yeah, somebody who could be a little more credible. I mean, that guy, when I said, "What's your last name?" He said, "Two-Tone."
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know if you were calling to tell somebody, to give a shout out to a guy as the funeral went by. I don't see any reason why you wouldn't give your last name.
Hello.
He seemed a little weird about it.
Oh, Don and Mike. Hello.
Hello.
Is this funeral guy?
No, it's not.
Hi, what can we do for you?
I'd like to speak to Don and Mike.
Yeah, you're talking to us. Hello.
How are you?
Fine, thanks.
How's it going? What that loser with the funeral, lying and stuff, man.
I don't know if he was lying.
No.
I don't think he was.
Listen,
he called it. I mean, the funeral went right by.
We're not sure now. There's, always the possibility that...
I think he was busting your balls, wasn't he?
Well, now, there's the possibility that he did see a funeral procession driving by blocks down the road.
Yeah.
But that's like a remote possibility. No,
I suppose it is, yeah. But now that you brought it up now...
I got to think that the guy was on the level, that the guy was really calling us from a funeral procession.
I think so.
I just think it was busting your gut balls, guys. But anyway, I love the show and you guys rock, man.
All right, thank you. Well, no, we think that was a funeral procession. We really think it was.
It definitely was a funeral procession, but what you just said about the guy saw something and said, "Hey, it'll be going by your..."
Because, I mean, the guy, if the stiff really was a fan of the show, well, we'll give him a shout-out. Tell us the dude's name and some information about him. Hello?
This is Tom. I'm the funeral guy.
Turn your radio down,
Turn your radio down,
Hold
Tom.
On. Sorry. The guy's name is Jason Dingus.
Now, Tom, are you the same DA that called us a couple of seconds ago?
I didn't mean to get put through straight to the air, so you kind of freaked me out.
Yeah, but I mean, you don't sound, like you're a guy that's attending a funeral of a friend today.
Well, the guy's 23 years old, just some of the young people out here.
Well, he was 23. How did he pass away, unfortunately?
He died in a motorcycle accident.
Motorcycle accident? All right.
All right, what's the dude's name?
His name's Jason Dingus.
All right.
And I just wanted to say to his family that we're all here for him, but he was a fan of the show, so just saying hi.
All right, I appreciate it. I hope not a chance like anybody else is listening to this. I mean, I would think on the way to a funeral.
Are you in the funeral procession?
Yeah, right now.
So you're calling from your car phone?
Cell phone, yeah.
How many cars behind the hearse are you?
Man, I have no idea. There's a lot of cars.
I mean, a lot. Well, a young guy like that, a lot of friends, obviously.
Yeah, a lot of friends.
All right, well, I mean, I just don't know how... I would hate for the family to think it's disrespectful to call a radio show, but if the guy liked the show, then we'll give him a shout-out, absolutely.
He's a fan of the show, man.
All right, well, terrific. And I guess if you're feeling good about doing that, then that's good, too.
Just Jason Dingus, man, just let him know.
All right, you got it. Thank you, my friend.
All right, man, I'm back there.
All right, see you later. Bye-bye. Oh, there you go. The guy was on a level. That was a funeral procession that was passing.
He's
by.
On the level. What a dumbass.
Hello. Don and Mike Show. I know that. Hi, Lisa.
Hey, I just got a call from Carrie Spiewak. Confirming that guy. She read it in the funeral directory.
Carrie already reading the obits, Rob?
Yeah, well, we get up and we read the obituaries. If we're not listed, we go ahead and get up and feed the baby.
Oh, so Carrie called the guy really was, so that's on the level?
Yeah, she knows the family.
Well, good, and that's a nice thing. And I don't mean calling his friend a dumbass.
He was kind of a DA, though.
He was kind of a DA.
He was a TD.
He might be overcome.
What's TDA?
Turbo.
Turbo. A turbo dumbass. Hello, Don and Mike show. Hello.
Don, Mike.
Yeah, hi, Danny.
Radio God.
Hey,
what's
Danny.
Up, man?
Hey, buddy.
Hey, I just wanted to say hi, man. I just started listening. I didn't know you guys did the time change before. But I'm very happy you guys are back on, though.
No, we were never off. But thank you, Danny.
Well, no, I went out of town for a while. I came back and it's Opie and Anthony were on now. So what the hell's going on?
Danny?
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 Danny? You want to be my friend, Danny?
All right. Hey, man, you guys are awesome, though.
Thank you, Danny.
Hey, old Lou, I'll be home shortly, okay?
Yeah, and listen, Danny.
Love you, baby.
God forbid, if anything ever happens to you and your funeral procession is driving by the radio station, make sure you have a real smart friend of yours call us so that we don't think it's a goof call.
Not the dumb one.
Hey, Mike, you're awesome, man. Keep on going.
Thank you, Danny.
Hi, please.
Bye, Danny. Hello, Don and Mike show.
What's up, Don and Mike?
Hey.
Just had a few questions about the nude boner. Like, when's it going to take place and where?
Listen, we're not going to be able to announce that for a couple of days. I know that Friday, Lisa is going to check out the bowling alley in the D.C. metro area that has agreed to. What are you laughing? You still laughing about the?
I'm laughing about the show, Don. Sometimes the show simply amuses me.
I know.
You know, between going, making the segue of the funeral right into Lisa going to check out the venue for nude bowling. That somehow amuses
Mike,
me.
Mike, life must go on.
Yes, this will. Their breasts will look good over here. I like her doing that.
Oh, no. But she's got to check out the location to see how many people the bowling alley can hold.
Because obviously we're going to get a lot of people showing.
Oh, yeah. And as far as I know.
Kitty style.
Pardon me?
When they bowl, make them bowl kitty style.
So they squat down?
It's a great idea.
With the ball between their legs?
It's a fabulous idea.
All right, good. Hopefully, we'll have the announcement on that for you on Monday's episode.
Appreciate it, guys.
Okay, thank you, my friend. Oh, and don't forget, also Monday, we'll have news about Dennis Murphy's porno. The big shoot is this Saturday. And I believe on Monday's episode, we're going to be watching the raw footage as we start the process of editing Dennis's porno tape.
This is some kind of fall, I don't mind telling you.
Sure is. We got a ton of stuff happening. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hello, Don and Mike.
I just want to say something to you out there, please. I'm not being disrespectful.
Hello, Don.
To anybody from the funeral procession. But
hang on, sir.
With all the stuff happening on the show right now, this would be an awful time to die.
Right. Yeah.
You're going to miss some really great radio.
This is true. Sorry.
See if you can hold it together.
Well, maybe he's listening.
Through the end of the ratings period.
Very good.
Because we've got some super stuff coming up.
Absolutely.
See if you can hold it together through the end of the fall book.
We wish everybody Godspeed.
Hi.
Hello, Don and Mike.
Yeah, hi.
How you guys doing?
Hi there.
All right, that's good. This is Mr. PB, professional black bowler. I got a question.
Yes.
Does Don still have his antique Mustang?
I got a 66 Mustang. Yes, I do.
Oh, okay. I never hear you talk about it anymore. I thought maybe you pawned it off.
Do you want to do bowling for it?
Sure, I'll do that. I got a 68.
Oh. Well, you got
back a 3-air disc brakes.
You got a 68?
Yeah.
You know what I'd love to get, my wife would never let me get this, I'd love to get me one of them Shelbys, Mustang Shelbys, like a Shelby Cobra.
Sweet car. We might be, the O'Meara's might be getting a family sedan this weekend that was built prior to the year 1970.
I also have
safety is the concern for your family.
Oh, safety will be paramount. It's going to be big. Really big.
When you care about your small children.
That's right.
Buy a car before the advent of airbags or disc brakes.
No, the neighbors will, Mike will be fine. The neighbors are screwed. Yeah. If that thing comes barreling down the highway.
Yeah, I'm excited about it. I don't know what it's going to be, but it's going to be old and large.
Do you know a make or a model?
Yes.
And what is it?
I'm not telling.
Out of
General Motors?
Yes.
Attaboy, boy. Yeah.
Hello.
Best of all, it is.
Mike.
Really?
Yeah. What's up, guys? You guys are awesome, man.
Thank you.
This is Ricky. Hey, I'm not dead yet, but I will be one day. So can you give me a shout-out right now, please?
There you go.
That's smart.
Hold on. Ricky, thank you for the call. Before we get to the Elvis tape, hey, Lisa, can you bring me the information on this girl? We have a WWF wrestler.
on the phone. Stacy, now I don't know if you've heard about this with the match, the new the televised thing that's coming up, the new pay-per-view.
She's got to be a hottie, I would imagine.
They're going to have two of these WWF chick wrestlers wrestling against each other in lingerie.
Oh, my God. Can we, does she have a website so we can look at her?
You probably go to WWF.com. Stacy Keebler.
Okay.
Stacy?
Yes.
Hi there. Welcome to the show, everybody.
Hi.
Stacy, everybody. And
hi.
You're going to be wrestling WWF style in your lingerie?
Yeah, baby.
Love that. Now, when is this the pay-per-view? When is it?
This is this Sunday. It's No Mercy on pay-per-view.
On pay-per-view. Mike, go to WWF.com.
Yeah. Where can we see you easily on the internet, Stacy? WWF.com?
Mike, you got to click on the... I was just there yesterday. Click on the
favorites. Is it in the favorites?
www.wcw.com may be easier. I'm not sure.
I was on the WWF site yesterday and was able to click on the thing for the pay-per-view this weekend where they have a picture of Stacy and the girl you're going to be wrestling with this weekend. Oh, here you go. Here's the picture, Mike. I got it right here.
Oh,
this is this is Stacy over here on the left.
Wow.
And she's going to be wrestling in the first ever lingerie match against Tori Wilson.
Hey, Stacy, have you ever slept with Diamond Dallas Page?
No.
Well, he came on the show, and he's been with... How many women has he been with?
1,500.
So
well, I am not one of those 1,500, but I love Page. He's a great guy, but I haven't gotten bed with him. Sorry.
Oh, okay. All right.
So you're one of two, and I'm going to... Now, see if you can tell I'm reading from the press release. One of two sultry divas.
Oh, look at her.
Going at it while wearing lingerie.
Yeah.
Yes, she is.
She's a POA.
And, wow. And I'm also the bad girl, so I'm going to be looking more bad girl out there. And Tori can do the little... Yeah,
why couldn't she come by the studio? Why does this have to be a phone interview? I wish she was here.
Oh, we just wanted to get her on the air, though.
You going
to
come visit us?
Where are you based out of? Are you in Baltimore right now? Are you?
No, today we're in D.C. Next week we'll be in New York.
Oh.
Now listen.
Okay, well, you know I live in Baltimore.
Yo, you live in Baltimore?
Well, why don't you come down and visit?
Sure, I would love to.
Do you have an STD?
No.
Well, you know, that's one of the things Baltimore is famous for.
Right.
I didn't even know that.
Yeah, Baltimore is like gonorrhea capital of the world.
I think it may be syphilis.
Syphilis.
Yeah,
right.
That's what
that's lovely.
What, look at your arms. How often, how much do you, weight do you lift?
I work out just to stay fit. I do not want to look like a fitness model. I don't want to look like too muscular, but I just try to work out a little bit. So I don't really lift that much weight. I'm a little weakling, actually.
What are you looking at her arms for? Look at the rest of her.
I know.
Jesus.
No, but I like the arms. Like,
man, are you hot?
I work out my legs more than I work out my arms.
Are there more pictures of you on this website?
Very cute face also. Now, are you afraid that the good girl in this match, Tori, like, she will she scratch your face or anything?
Well, I hope not, because if she scratches my face, then I'll, pull all of her extensions out of her head.
Uh-huh. Oh, meow.
Now, listen to this. Guys, listen to this. Stacy, who we're talking to right now, 21.
Yeah. Actually, I just turned 22 Sunday.
21. 22. One of the youngest wrestlers, female wrestlers. Now, who came to you with it? Did Vince come to you with this thing about wrestling in your... In your underwear and your lingerie?
I'm sure that the original idea came from Vince, but he wasn't the one that actually told me. Actually, Paul Heyman came up to me and told me that we were going to be doing this. So, and that's cool with me, you know.
Are you going to wear a bra?
I think I have a few options going right now. I will tell you I'm going to be wearing all black. But I don't know exactly what yet. I went to Victoria's and I picked out a few things. So
That's incredible. It's got to be tough to wrestle in that.
What if?
I'm sure it will be.
What if in the middle of this match, the first ever lingerie match, and it's WWF No Mercy this weekend pay per view? What happens if one of your boobs just pops out?
Well, I'm hoping that doesn't happen.
Yeah, but let's think about the possibility that one or both of them pop out. Would you cover up or would you just continue to wrestle topless?
My personality would be more to oops, it happened, but here it is. But I would probably cover up too. I don't know. That's one of those things that you can't decide what you would do until it's right in front of your face.
Now, are you aligned with any particular wrestlers in the WCW? Are there any particular guys that you like tag team with or something like that?
Right now, I've been paired up with the Dudleys.
The Dudleys. Hello now.
The Dudleys.
Now, come on, you guys. You got to watch. I come out in little camouflage skirts and high black boots. Yeah, I love it.
Very hot. Now, when you're going to fight this girl, and that's not like saying fighting.
Uh-huh.
When you're going to fight her.
Fight.
Now, you're the bad girl, and she's the good girl.
Yeah.
So does that mean that you get to do stuff like, would you consider sucker punching her or...
Yeah, definitely.
Would you like kick her in her genital area if she was down on the ground?
Come on, Stacey.
Yeah.
There you go.
Would you really?
Because I can get away with that, right? I'm the bad girl. I can do that.
Absolutely. Right, sure. You're the bad girl.
Would you do anything to her boobies? anything like?
Give me some things I can do here.
Like anything bad?
Well, there's the twist. You're familiar with the twist, right?
Yeah, I can do the twist. Yeah. I know she'd probably get all her clothes off first to do that. So.
Well,
if you have to.
You could do the twist through her. Probably you could do the twist through her shirt or her spandex shirt.
Yeah, absolutely.
And
I mean, you're going to be wearing lingerie, right? There's some advantages here.
And not to mention the fact that since you're the bad girl, you could, like, whisper stuff in her ear, like about, you know, how her poontang smells.
Yeah,
Do you do stuff like that? I know that a lot of it is orchestrated and that you do the stuff for TV, but, like, when you really get into it, would you, like, be in a headlock with this girl and you say, hey, you know, this match is going great, but I got to tell you something. Man, you smell down there. Would you ever do that?
Maybe I'll let the camera guy know and I'll do it and you guys can hear it.
Yeah, are there any other places on the web where we can see pictures of you?
There's a lot of sites out there that aren't, like, my official site that, like, fans have put up. So I don't know exactly what's on there. I don't know if all the information's right. I don't know if there's whatever. But WWF is legit. So anybody that wants to find out all the real scoop can and visit WWF.com. But I don't have my own webpage yet. That's something I got to get on the ball. I got to do one of those.
All right, now hold on. I got a call for you. A guy, as a matter of fact, from Maryland. Hey, Mike, hi. Listen, you're on the air with Stacy.
Hi, Stacy. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
Oh man, you are so hot. Hey Don and Mike, I had an idea. Why don't you guys, her birthday was just Sunday, why don't you guys give her birthday spanking?
Oh, I got an idea. Why don't you go spank your monkey?
Oh, I'm already doing it.
I'm already doing it. God, people.
I got my birthday spanking, actually, at Madison Square Gardens. We had a house show on my birthday Sunday, and I was out at the ring with the Dudleys, and they were fighting the APA, and Bradshaw completely lifted up my skirt and gave me one good ass whipping.
Wow. Mike, whatever your reason, there's no denying when Stacey Keibler and Tori Wilson are in the ring together, there's bound to be fireworks.
Fireworks
of this
in the ring.
you are one cute girl, and I'm gonna bet that you kick this Tori Wilson's ass on Sunday night.
Yeah, if I don't do it Sunday, she will get it. So.
All right, let me ask you, how do you feel about taking our sex quiz?
Sure, I will.
Okay.
All right, very good.
It's a quiz taken by all celebrities on the show, and it's a quiz that we ourselves have taken. So let's get right to it with Stacey Keibler.
Okay.
From wrestling. And again, it's this Sunday night, WWF No Mercy pay-per-view, 8 o'clock, everybody.
Now, we've all taken this, Stacey. Every one of us on the show, major celebrities have taken this. We've had TV stars, movie stars, lots of people have done this.
Okay. I got another horny guy. Listen, I imagine the guy wants to date her. Tom?
How you doing, Don and Mike?
Tom, now the question on the screen says, who are you dating?
Are you still dating David Flair?
No, He moved to Baltimore. We lived together for a little while. And then around February, March, he moved out. And we kept in contact for a while, but I haven't talked to him in a while. But I know that he's down in Louisville training. He's with WWF. But he's at
Ohio Valley, that's right. I thought I read you all were engaged.
Nope, I've never been engaged, and I do not have a boyfriend at this time.
See, I knew it. I knew that somewhere in there.
Thanks, Donald Mike.
You're welcome. Somewhere in there was just some horny guy who wanted to try to get in action with her.
And you heard what she just said. She is not engaged. She does not have a boyfriend at this time.
Okay, here we go with a sex quiz.
Wow.
Okay, let's
go. Stacey, here we go. Question one. Stacey, have you ever been in a three-way or had group sex?
No, I have not.
Good girl.
Have you ever had sex while menstruating?
Yes, I have.
Have you ever had a lesbian experience?
I've kissed a girl before, but that was one of my best friends. It was kind of one of those, like, daring, kind of drunk, kind of...
That's,
you know,
a yes.
We're going to give you a yes for that.
Have you ever made love in your parents' home?
Yes.
Have you ever enjoyed hot interracial sex?
No.
No. Have you ever J-O'd in front of others?
J-O'd as in your term, a male J-O'd?
Yeah, well, you know, you just make it for pleasure,
have
you know?
You diddled yourself in front of others?
Yes.
Oh, very nice.
Well, I'd pay $1 million to see that on pay-per-view. Stacey, have you ever had sex in a public place?
Yes.
Have you ever been filmed or photographed while having sex?
No, I have not.
No.
That would go for another pay-per-view, too, I guess, huh?
Yeah, that'd be a great pay-per-view.
Yeah, I'm getting some money ideas in my head.
Mm-hmm. Here's an important one, Stacey. Have you ever had sex in the no-no?
No, I haven't.
Good girl. Good for you.
Very good.
I have to tell you guys that I had a boyfriend for 7 years before I got into the wrestling business. And then I was with David. So I really haven't had too many partners to begin with. So I'm kind of a little angel.
Now, hold on. That's one of our final questions.
Okay, considering your boyfriend's relationship started when you were 14, man.
let me see. Oh, have you had sex with a no-no spot? Have you J-O'd today?
No.
Have you ever had sex in a car?
Yes.
You ever had a one-night stand or sex with a stranger?
No, I have not.
All right, two more questions.
I'm a good girl.
Well, that's good. Yeah, well, the survey is showing that.
Two more questions. Do you swallow?
No, I don't.
And, Stacey, what is your total number of sexual partners?
Four.
Four?
She is a Girl Scout.
Oh, my God. Listen to
him. I'm so innocent.
Yeah, but there's just enough lack of innocence that it made it interesting.
How did Stacey Keebler score here on the sex quiz?
She qualifies for our Mother Teresa Award with 7 yes answers out of 13 questions and a total of 4 partners.
Did you ask the last question? Has she ever seen one of the Keebler elves naked?
Yeah.
No, but I would probably laugh my ass off if I did.
There you go. All right, well, listen, Stacey, was great. Great talking to you on the phone. We'd love to get you in the studio.
Yeah, I would love to.
To eyeball you. Everybody watch Stacey as she kicks some ass. That's Sunday night, WWF, No Mercy, pay-per-view. The beautiful Stacey Keebler. Stacey, thank you for coming on the show.
Thanks for having me.
And don't forget, she's wrestling in lingerie on Sunday night.
Amen.
Yeah. Lingerie wrestling. First time ever.
If you drop by the studio, feel free to wear your lingerie.
Okay.
All right. All right, thank you. Thanks, Stacey. Bye-bye.
There she goes.
Yeah, I forgot she's calling in today.
Very cute.
Totally forgot that. It was on the website yesterday. Lisa said she wants to come on the show.
Stacey Keebler versus Tori Wilson.
Keebler.
What a cookie.
Oh, you know, we never got to the Elvis stuff. We will do that right after this.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Okay, what else is on here, man? What else is on, huh?
Only Arthur is my favorite.
Hey, Nookie. It's Robert Goulet.
That'll be enough of that.
You can call Don and Mike anytime, toll free at 1-877-365-3636. That's 1-877-365-3636. They're ready to believe you.
Damn right.
Ladies and gentlemen, Elvis has left the building.
They only play commercials when they get bored. Don and Mike.
All right, those are the phone numbers from D.C., the most powerful city in America. 202-432-1067. The rest of the free world can call us at 877-365-3636. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
What? Ladies and gentlemen, you've just listened to one of the most annoying sounds in the world.
What was that? What, honey? All right. Try back. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Yeah, can I speak to them?
Yeah, you're talking to us. Hello.
Oh, Don and Mike, I'm sorry.
That's okay.
I just wanted to tell you guys, you guys are promoting the Red Cross so much. What I can't figure out is, why are they driving around a brand new BMW four-wheel drive vehicle in the city of New York?
Probably because it got donated to them.
The Gad Dad didn't get donated. Come on, these guys are spending thousands of dollars on these vehicles.
Now, wait a minute. You're saying it's a Red Cross? It's got Red Cross markings on it?
It had the temporary license plate in the window. You know how they get the paper plate in the window?
Is it white? Is it white?
White, Red Cross, and bright.
Well, I mean, what do you think? They're going to drive it through the neighborhood and show it off? I mean, it's...
No, that's not the point, though. My point is, you know, and again, I'm not calling to argue. I'm just calling to just let you guys know. I think it's a little crazy. They've got all this money that they've received.
How do you doubt that? How do you doubt that it wasn't donated? What Don said wasn't true. Why would you think that wouldn't be true?
That may be true, but you know something.
You think they go out? Do you think the people at the Red Cross?
I seriously doubt
and get a beamer.
I seriously doubt it this time.
Listen, I would like to think that. I would like to think it was donated, but come on.
I'm sure it was. I can't think that the Red Cross is going to go out and buy a freaking BMW and then have the balls to drive it around New York, or everyone's going to see it.
Don, let me tell you something. I would love to believe that. I'm sure you may be correct on this, and if so, I stand corrected, and I apologize for it. But
I'm sure. Listen,
it seems a little arrogant when you see the head of the Red Cross on the news last week. Right, you know, when you were talking about how come people aren't receiving money from the donations yet. And then I see a BMW Jeep driving through the city with Red Cross.
You know what? Listen, I'm sure someone from the Red Cross will give us a call.
Yeah, we'd love to get that question answered for you.
And let us know. But I would bet you, I'll bet you a large donation to the Red Cross that the car's donated.
I bet they take a Ford, they take a BMW, they take whatever's donated for their needs.
I've seen BMW trash trucks and other kinds of specialty trucks. If it was the right truck for the job, then let them buy it if they have the money.
Would you feel better if you saw the Red Cross driving around like in a Datsun, like those goddamn Talibans have to?
I mean, what do you want? You want them to, like, get a 1971 Datsun and
racing blood to where it's needed
and break down?
I understand they need vehicles for their organization, but I see a BMW vehicle. I'm driving around a Jeep Cherokee, you know? That's what I can afford. I'm like, you know, I feel bad.
Ah, there we go.
All right, listen. Yeah.
I think we've identified what it is.
Right, no, that's not it. Listen, I donated 1 month of my... I own coin-operated laundromats in apartment buildings around Manhattan.
Okay.
I donated 1 month of my collection to the World Trade Center Fund, the Rudy Giuliani Pataki set up.
Good for you, thank you.
I can afford to buy myself a more expensive vehicle. It's just that I find it a little arrogant that these guys are driving around a BMW trunk and I see people waiting online.
Okay, now hold on. Let's make sure that we're talking about the same thing. When you say BMW truck, I know if you go out on the road and you see, like, truck drivers, there are some trucks.
Not that. I'm talking the four-wheel drive vehicle.
You mean like...
The four-wheel drive vehicle, like the Mercedes Jeep.
The new fancy one.
Yeah, the SUV,
I bet you anything it's donated. But I understand what you're saying, but I think you're wrong.
I can't correct it if I am.
And I bet they have beater cars, too. I mean, they got a whole fleet.
Yeah. Mike, I'm sure they do, but when I see a BMW trunk or Red Cross on the side, it just, you know, it seems a little arrogant.
When a car is a beater car, we refer to it as a Rob Spiewak car.
A Rob Spiewak.
Or more specifically, we refer to it as a Kerry Spiewak
car. A BMSC car.
You guys are great, man. I really appreciate you taking the time.
Beater. All right, thanks.
Have a good day.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye. See you later.
But, you know, in this time of crisis, we are taking your donations. The Spiewak family.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Yeah, I'm calling to talk to Don.
Yeah, I'm here.
Hey, this is Chuck from Sacramento.
Yes, hi, Chuck.
Hey, I was calling to see if you saw the amazing race last night.
Got it on TiVo because we were bowling last night. So don't...
Oh, man, you missed it.
Don't ruin it for me, please. I'm going to watch it tonight, please.
Oh, you got to check out the fags.
Okay, all right, I will. Thank you.
All right.
Thank you. I want to thank God whoever invented that TiVo machine.
Yeah, it's great.
That is the greatest creation.
All I know is it's not believe. There's a scene with spiders in
it. Don't ruin it for me.
I had it on replay TV.
You? Now, replay. Come on.
One of the guys.
I wouldn't do this to you.
One of the guys gets bitten by a spider.
I'm gonna F with you the next time a movie comes out. I swear to God.
I didn't even see it.
Oh. All right. Okay.
I wouldn't do that to you. I wouldn't do that to you in real life.
Okay. Because you guys, I was really upset about it. I want to see my amazing race show tonight.
Bitten by a spider. It was good, though, wasn't it? It was a good amazing race thing happening.
No, you got me. I'm a DA on that.
Spider bite.
I'm the dumbass on that.
Spider bite.
You know, a sign, though, that they are worried about Survivor.
Right.
Which is on tonight. And, you know, last week you got beat by
friends.
There are no friends of mine. I saw the promo for Survivor where tonight they're going to be drinking blood.
Yeah, cow's blood.
Yeah, right. That's part of the, that to me is a sign of desperation.
Sure.
That already in the second episode of Survivor, they're having to promo the fact that these poor schmucks in Africa have to drink cow's blood.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, the ratings will go up, though, in the next episode when they all get the heavy.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
I'm spiders.
Mike.
Hey, guys, what's happening?
Hey, my friend.
I'm a new caller. I'm digging it, man. Good job.
Thank you. Where are you calling from?
I'm calling from New York. I'm driving in my car, actually, on Long Island.
Okay, hi. What can we do for you?
I just wanted, you guys, since you guys were on the subject of the Red Cross, I was just, I've been dying to, you know, have a forum to express this. I'm seeing on television every day about how people have not received the money and they're, you know, they're worrying about paying their mortgages and food for their family and stuff. In the meantime, we're spending thousands of dollars dropping food off in Afghanistan.
A lot of people are, you know, have a bitch about that. I understand that. And, you know, I think that really it's more administrative than anything else. The money is there with the Red Cross, and it's something that has just got to get through and get to the proper people.
I agree, but I, you know, I understand that with this guy. I actually agree with this guy. I think there's there are families in New York of the firefighters, the people who were in the towers, who now, you know, they got nothing. They got nothing.
Forget it for a minute. Make believe the Twin Towers problem that never happened. Why aren't they? There's people starving here regardless. Why, you know, we could be dropping food off from a helicopter in the middle.
But you understand though, this has always been the U.S. Modus operandi.
Just told the guy spoke.
This is what we do.
Way we are.
We kill and then we feed.
You know, the bottom line is, you know, the people down there, the majority of the way I understand, I was watching a reporter talk about it the other night, the vast majority of the Afghan people, the way I understand it right now, are really, they do want this regime to be out of there.
Yes, they do.
You know, I mean, these people have lived under the thumb of these thugs for so long.
We need their help.
Did I just hear the goddamn Taliban, like, took two warehouses full of the food that we've been dropping over there?
Yeah, absolutely. They you know, they're stealing the food that we're
dropping. That's not from the food drop. That's from a United Nations thing.
We continue to
Hold on.
I mean, I saw on TV last night they're practicing drops.
Right.
That's ridiculous.
And that comes out of the defense budget, which you pay with your tax dollars. The Red Cross is a totally separate thing. Those are contributions only.
The way we look at it in the big scheme of things, you know, it's hard to separate everything.
I know it is.
That's understandable.
All right, thank you for the call, Mike. Hello, here's another Mike. Mike.
Oh, Don, I am so angry.
Why are you so angry?
Well, people out there, they don't understand that people are starving, man. What's the problem with dropping food in Afghanistan?
Why did you drop this fake accent?
I am so angry.
Lose the accent, my friend.
Fake accent.
Hey, Mike.
Yes, sir.
When is Arnold coming back on the show?
Soon and for the rest of your life.
Hello there, Don and Mike show.
Hey, how you doing? I want to talk to Don and Mike.
Yeah, you're on the air with us. Hi.
Yeah, right.
Come on, you are.
Hey, now we got a real DA.
Hi, dumbass. You're on the air.
How you doing, man? You know, what about Daddy Day Daughter Day?
What's that, dumbass?
Daddy Day Daughter Day.
We're going to get to it. Oh, I got to get the Elvis tape on first, though.
All right.
Bear with me.
Yeah.
Hold on. Joe Ardinger has just put up on the screen, on line number 3, the most annoying caller in the world.
Wow.
Now, I don't know why this caller gets this distinction.
Well, it might be tone of voice.
Hello?
Hello?
Oh, okay.
Can you hear me?
There it is.
Hey, welcome, everybody. Hi, honey.
I'm not the most annoying caller. I'm, like, working up in God's country and got cut off.
Okay, what can we do for you?
I'm just calling to tell you guys have the greatest show in the world. I live in Wayne, New Jersey. It takes me like an hour to get to work every day to get up to Newton. And all I listen to up in Newton...
Wait a minute, you travel from Wayne to Newton?
Yes, I do. And you guys,
hey,
I listen to you every day. You are the greatest. Who has the wife, Frida?
That's me, Don. Hi.
I almost crashed my car the one night you were telling me, because this is me and my husband's scenario exactly.
See, now,
night you were telling me you finally thought you were going to get something and that she had bronchitis and was laying in bed hacking away.
Hey, cats are surrounding the studio right
now. Oh, because that's me. I have allergies and my husband's always saying, you think tonight, and I'm always...
Yeah, but they're not... bad. They're not that bad, are they?
My allergies?
Yeah, they're not that bad, are they?
Well, they are, and when I came home that day, when I heard you say it, I was cracking up. I'm like, oh my God, you had to hear Don and Mike. He was talking about his wife, Frida. So I just had to tell you guys have the greatest show in the world.
Well, listen,
and
you're
we
very
don't
nice.
Have a radio station. We don't feel where I work, so like, the only time I can hear you guys is when I'm driving to work.
Does your husband give you a hard time a lot?
Not really. Not really, but I can always use these. I'm too tired or I have allergies and they're bothering me. But for the most part, he doesn't give me too hard a time.
All right. Well, listen, thank you, friend. I just want to say thank you. I don't find you to be the most annoying caller in the world, but apparently...
I wasn't. I'm sorry. I'm in the minority here.
Ma'am?
All right. Thank you, honey.
Ma'am?
Thanks. What?
Does your husband drink and often and a lot?
No.
What does he?
No, he doesn't drink at all.
He should.
I think you're very sweet.
Thank you, honey.
Thank you very much. You guys are great.
Thank you. Thanks for the call.
Have a good day.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
He drinks. And
no, he doesn't drink. Not anymore.
Oh?
She's going to walk into her upstairs bathroom, and she's going to see something swinging from the shower curtain.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Don, man.
Yeah, hi.
Man, I got a bone to pick with you.
Oh, you want to pick my bone?
Sorry. No offense, but how come you don't want to hear about the end of Amazing Race? Because
I T-voted and we were bowling last night.
I understand that, but whenever you see something before the listeners do, you blow the ending on the air.
You better watch it. This guy might be wanting to let you know what's going on.
I
hate to hear it myself.
That's the great thing about having a radio show. I urge you to go out and get your own radio show.
Oh, no, I could never stop you guys.
No. What I mean is...
Listen, let me ask you a question. Did you ever see the musical Oklahoma?
You don't know how fantastic it is to be able to set things on your own terms.
Hey, hold it, Don. He's talking about show tunes.
Yeah. Did you ever see Oklahoma?
Sure.
I saw it last night. Helen Keller had one of the leads.
Oh, really?
She sang the song, I'm Just a Girl Who Can't Say No.
You got to know that musical to laugh at that joke.
Or you just got to know Helen Keller.
That's true.
If you knew Helen like I know Helen, what a... James.
Don.
Hi, Don and Mike show.
All right. Listen, I live in Wayne, New Jersey, and bad enough that a couple of the hijackers stayed there for a while, giving the town a bad name. Then we get some DA like that lady calling in. Wayne is a good town. There's good people there. We are not all like that.
No, listen, she had a wonderful heart. She was a fan of the show.
Absolutely.
I believe the only man who could stand being married to her right now is Rush Limbaugh.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, I think I'm Rush Limbaugh's deaf.
People are embracing DA, too, which I think is wonderful.
Yeah, Wayne is good. Don and Mike rule. Thank you. Bye.
Thanks, my friend. Thanks for the call. Hello, Don and Mike show. Oops.
Well, I'm taking the wrong line. What am I doing? Hello?
Hey, Don. How you doing?
Hi. Who's this?
This is John.
Hello, Johnny.
How's it going?
Great.
I wanted to tell you, you're missing a great opportunity. On Who Wants to Be a Millionaire, there is no limitation as far as who can be on the other side of the phone. So you can have the whole staff. You got Brains there. You got Buzz there. And they can all help mankind if you get the call.
Yeah, but, you know, I kind of... It's not a selfish thing. I want it to be that if mankind uses me for his lifeline and I'm a real dumb guy, I'd rather just take the credit for being a real dumb guy.
It's a responsibility.
And conversely, if I do happen to know the answer, I would hate to share, you know, the fact that I got the answer from one of the other guys on the show.
You asked him specifically, can I be your lifeline? And he said, that's your thing. It's your party.
Yeah, I want to do it. All right, yeah. Thank you, though.
But the thing is, you're helping out charity that way. I mean,
it's not the first time I've said this on the show. F charity. I'm more concerned with being mankind's lifeline on Who Wants to Be a Millionaire.
I'm sorry, Don. I didn't put your selfish interest before charity.
All right.
Now you know.
F charity. Hello, Don, on my show.
Yeah. I'm a Red Cross BMW.
Yes.
It's right on them that they're donated.
You know what?
He said it's right on them that they're donated.
Oh, really? Like there's a sign on there or something?
Yeah, this vehicle has been donated.
September 2001.
All right. Thank you. Thought so.
Yes, sir.
Very good.
Gotcha.
Good to be here.
Don and Mike show.
Hi, how are you?
Hi, we're doing great, thanks. yeah.
Take your time, sir. Swallow, yeah. Swallow.
What can we do for you?
No, I was just shocked that somebody answered the phone.
Okay.
Well, you know, it's
nothing.
Amazing.
I was just calling and listening to the show just now, and I just like listening to these guys. I've been listening to them for a long time.
Okay, well, you're talking to us, and we do appreciate it. Thank you, my friend.
Okay.
All right, bye-bye.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye, D.A.
Bye. Bye-bye.
Friend. Yes, you are. Friendly D.A.
All right, are you ready now? Are we going to break already? I want to start the Elvis tape. Really, I want to hear Elvis Presley.
Oh.
That's right. Remember this song?
We're not.
Oh, it's beeped out. Remember, this is the sanitized CBS version.
I wish we could play this.
Yeah. Oh, I'll give you another example of the CBS hypocrisy of what you can say and what you can't say. That's a funny song. I don't know why we can't say it.
It's all about your public hair. I can see it all in the underwear. And I can see public.
Public. Just a little more. Give that to man. Oh, let me see. Oh, let him see. Public. Yesterday when we were calling the phone sex girls with the Frankenstein tapes.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Okay, now I don't want to be deleted out. You can, the word style.
Okay.
If you're talking about different sexual styles.
Uh-huh. Like rough-rough?
Yeah, rough-rough, not meaning like OJ.
Woof-woof.
Like yeah, woof-woof.
Mm-hmm.
That's not acceptable.
Right. You
that gets deleted out.
Right.
However, missionary style, say that. Scream that from the highest rooftop.
What about missionary position?
That's also okay.
It's the American way.
But
what about Greek style?
Oh. Mike, I don't know. See, now you're testing new boundaries here. I don't know what's like being deleted and what's not being deleted out. All I know is that yesterday there was a big high-level discussion upstairs when I got off the air about why it was okay to say missionary style and not okay to say, you know, the Rover style, you know.
You know, and I've watched the
Alpo style.
I've watched the Westminster Dog Show, and you know, I always thought it's kind of an insult to dogs, really, if you say that's good doggy style.
Uh-huh. I've seen lots of dogs with great style on that
show.
Yeah,
it's kind of an insult to them when you associate that term with, you know, something like that.
In many cases, oh, you ever see the movie Best in Show?
Mm-hmm.
It's like it's a doggy style movie.
Right.
All the dogs are styling and profiling.
Absolutely.
We got new flooring in our doghouse, and you got to see that doggy style.
Oh, God. All right.
It was anyway. A long trip.
Nice trip.
the hypocrisy. No, Rob, hold on. We have the official the verdict here. That was
no good.
Okay.
Wow.
All right. So listen, we set this thing up with Elvis Presley. We'll play that tape for you when we come right back.
And Mike Show.
Did you spend any time with the guy? Could you get any sense of what this guy was about? Did you continue dating him?
I did get to go to Graceland for dinner. And
what did you have at dinner?
Oh, chicken fried steak.
Wow.
He ate a lot of it.
Yeah.
He had a big appetite.
Oh, yes.
But there's one thing he wouldn't eat.
What was that?
Well.
Get wood, we don't get paid. The Don and Mike Show.
Right, we'll do the Letterman tapes right here. Let me get in a plug here. Don and Mike gutter balls are suck ass bowling team. Wednesday night, we'll be in New Jersey.
Outside of one prodigy.
Playing the job squad. That's the bowling team we're going up against Wednesday night. That's next Wednesday, October 2-4, Jersey Lanes in Linden, New Jersey. They're at 30 Park Avenue. Come on out. We'd like to see you, and you can see how bad we suck, except, of course, for Buzz Melwood Burbank.
Right.
Prodigy. And kids.
Oh, there it is.
It's Halloween time. And next week on the show, we're up at NEW. The good people of New York get the first chance to win some of $6,000 in Halloween cash we're giving away.
Wow. It's almost time, kids. The clock is ticking. Be in front of your TV since
scary.
The marathon. And remember the big giveaway at 9.
Yeah.
Don't miss it. And don't forget to wear your masks. The clock is ticking. It's almost
time. Take out your knives.
So
next week we're going to start our we have many, many Halloween promotions. The first one next week will be guys and gals in our WNEW studios.
Oh, my God.
Having sex with pumpkins.
Fascinating.
Sex to completion. Jack-o'-lanterns. And we're going to be giving away thousands of dollars to those who can complete the task. We are.
How do you check for that?
Well, you at least it with a pair of gloves.
Oh, God.
Oh, God. Your jacket,
you, oh, hold on.
I got, yeah, that's the answer. They got to wait for it to re-cue on how you check it. It's been completed.
Lisa, you are on the air.
Right. Oh, God. The money we're giving away is courtesy Simply Wireless. Sprint PCS. Call 888-222-8484 to find out more about a Sprint PCS plan.
All right.
We thank Simply Wireless for the money. That's simplywireless.com. Okay, Elvis.
Yeah.
We got the tape of Elvis that we played for like 10 years on the show, the bootleg tape, where he talks about the freaks that carry his luggage up to the room.
The man keeps on giving, doesn't he?
Yes, there's a preamble to that that we've never been able to get a hold of. And Rob, who do we have to thank for this?
I don't know.
Lou. A guy named Lou.
A guy named Lou from where?
Faithful listener from around here.
From Maryland. And Lou, I apologize that the Cracker Jack cleanup crew threw away your return address on your envelopes.
Dobbs, Gossett.
For the first time ever, here now, broadcast, Elvis, effed up Elvis, before a concert, in during a concert in Vegas, and the year, Rob, is?
It's September 74, and this is about 25 minutes into the show when the attack has taken hold.
All right, so he's taken his pills before the show, and he's okay up until this point during the concert. Elvis, the unheard tapes. Here we go.
Thank you very much. Just a second. You're fantastic. Thank you. That's beautiful.
You know, right there, there's nothing better than hearing the effed up Elvis.
Thank you very much.
You're fantastic. You're fantastic.
Thank you, man.
Thank you, man.
Thank you very much. Thank you. That's fantastic, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you.
Thank you, dear.
That's fantastic, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you.
Well, good as you are.
I want to make one thing clear. Let me make something clear. I've been singing this song for a long time. I've been singing this song for a long time. And a lot of people kind of got associated with me because I think it's a personal thing. It's not. It's a beautiful.
What it is, a lot of people got associated with me.
Yeah, he's so effed up.
He's completely, boy, he sounds worse than on the other tape.
This is the preamble to.
Yeah, I know, but I mean, he sounds a lot worse right now.
Maybe like he sobers up halfway through.
Wow.
I don't know. Maybe he has a cup of coffee or something halfway through.
Associated with me.
A song written by Marty Robbins. And I heard Frankie Lane do it, I think it was. And I just love the song. And it has nothing to do with me personally. Well, with my ex-wife, Priscilla, she's right here. Nice to meet you. Come on, Johnny.
Okay, so now he's getting Priscilla to stand up in the audience, his ex-wife.
I didn't know Priscilla was in the audience.
Right, don't you remember when I read you the transcript?
Oh, that's right.
Please stand up. And I think, if I'm not wrong, doesn't he tell her to turn around?
Turn around.
Or is it the other girl he has to turn around?
His girlfriend. So he's got the girlfriend and Priscilla in the same audience?
Right.
How effed up is that?
And imagine you're one of the poor schmucks back in 1974, is this?
Right.
You know, you've paid your $300 a ticket, which at the time, you know, with inflation is like $3,000 a ticket.
Right.
To go see big, fat, purple, bloated Elvis. And he's so effed up on stage, but the audience doesn't know how to react to it.
No, they're totally confused.
Shocked. Yeah, they applaud at the wrong times.
That song's associated with me.
Hey, back it up a little bit so we can hear him introduce Priscilla.
Everybody's uncomfortable.
It's a little hard to hear.
Except for Elvis.
Okay. You got it, Robbie?
Number one. And I just love the song. And it has nothing to do with me personally. Well, my ex-wife, Priscilla, she's right here. Nice to meet you. Come on, Johnny. Come on out. Turn around and let him see you.
So now he's got his wife and his...
Did he call Joni out?
Yes, he's got his ex-wife and his girlfriend... Both of them standing up, getting applause from the audience, and he's telling the girlfriend to turn around for everybody.
Hey, thank you.
Little Jack Diamond-y, huh?
Yeah.
Well, she's beautiful, chick. I'll tell you for sure. Beautiful. Well, I know that when I pick someone, you know, damn.
Now, hold on, back that up.
I know
what is these? I noses them when I picks them. Goddamn.
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 Well, I knows them when I picks them. I'm like, you know, goddamn.
Goddamn.
Now, show my little daughter, Lisa. She's 6 years old. Look at her jump up. Put your dress down, Lisa. You pull your dress down where you jump up like that again, young lady. And then at the same booth is my girlfriend, Sheila. Same Sheila.
Wait a minute. How many chicks is he introducing here?
Who's the girl who he told to turn around when he had Priscilla?
Is that Priscilla?
All I can think is that he maybe called her Johnny or Johnny.
Johnny.
Hey, Johnny.
Yeah, maybe
dream?
A nickname, some like sat nickname.
Yeah, it could be. Because as far as I can tell is that the girlfriend and Lisa Marie are at the booth, and Lisa, I think Priscilla came off from off stage.
Right, so he's not asked the girlfriend to stand up yet.
This is her, Sheila, I believe. Okay,
yeah,
I don't even know
bringing out, yeah, he's
yet.
Bringing out Priscilla. And he's bringing out
Sheila.
Sheila after. So he brings out Priscilla. Then he brings out Lisa Marie. So that would coincide.
Sheila.
Pull your dress down.
Yeah, it's because I used to get excited when my mom would dance with her panties.
Don't you remember? Oma yeah. Peter.
Oma Peter.
Turn around. Completely around. Sheila. Straight up. Pull the ring up. The ring. Your right hand. Look at this, son of a bitch. Now, the thing I'm trying to get across
Hold
is...
Hold on. Is he calling her... I've heard her called Priscilla, Joni, and Sheila.
No, just Sheila's the girlfriend.
All right, now back it up again. Back the tape up. And you know what the problem is? We're
trying to decipher it.
We're stopping it too much. What you just hear is he's asking his now, at this point, uh-huh. I'm pretty sure he's asking his girlfriend to stand up.
He's so unintelligible.
Turn around.
Right.
Like pirouette for everybody. Then he orders her to hold up her hand to show them the ring.
Show the ring on your hand.
Okay, here's Elvis with his girlfriend.
Well, she's beautiful chick. I'll tell you for sure, boy. Well, I knows her when I pick someone. You know, goddamn. Now, show my little daughter, Lisa. She's 6 years old. Look at her jump up. Put your dress down, Lisa.
He's so effed
up. You pull your dress down where you jump up like that again, young lady. And then at the same booth is my girlfriend, Sheila. Same Sheila. Turn around. Completely around. Sheila, straight up. Pull the ring up. The ring, your right hand. Look at this, son of a bitch. Now, the thing I'm trying to get across is, we're the very best of friends, and we always have been. Our divorce came about not because of another man or another woman, but because of the circumstances involving my career. I was traveling too much. I was gone too much. And it was just an agreement that I didn't think it was fair to her because I was gone so much and everything. So I, therefore, as decently as you can do that type of thing, we just made an agreement to her to always be friends and be close and care because we have a daughter to raise. And for her to have whatever she wanted as a settlement. After the settlement, we came out at about $2 million. You know. Well, after that, I got her a mink coat. I know it. If I'm talking about the mink coat, you hang loose with it. The XT Jag after the song escaped her. She got me, listen to this, tonight. $42,000 white Rolls Royce.
Listen to the dumb mooks in the audience.
They must love each other.
Elvis has just announced he divorced Priscilla because he had to spend too much time away with his career.
Right.
That they decided that they would remain friends to raise their child.
Yeah.
She got $2 million in a settlement, and he bought her a mink coat.
And
then he bought her an XKJ,
Jag. Right.
And then just tonight...
She bought him, or he bought it for himself and said, hey, we'll say you gave that to me.
A $42,000 white Rolls Royce.
I just love that, Scylla.
She's bought for me tonight.
Please dress down.
How does the mind work on this? What is the spin he's going for with the audience?
It's the same as the Jack Diamond spin, that everything's okay, that he handled his divorce in the best possible way. It is a man that's racked with guilt.
Hold your ring up.
Come on now, hold it. Look at that, Jack, son of a bitch.
I knows him when I picks him.
Great new Elvis tape we never heard before.
is the type of relationship that we have, you know. And it's not a bad setup, is it, fellas? You know, I mean, I got part of it back anyway, did I? I wasn't hurting too bad, but I mean, I did get part of it back. You know, she bought the car just out of a gesture of love, and she likes the studs that I have. It's not a car, it's a studs. No.
What? Oh, no, he's rambling.
No, it's called a stud. A studs.
A studs Bearcat.
And she likes a stud. She likes the studs. Mike Stoney, no studs. So be good. She liked the studs. And, so I'm going to give her the studs, and she can give me the roll.
Isn't this the greatest Elvis tape ever?
So out of his
he's
mind.
So effed up on this tape. Have you ever heard one better than this?
No, he's like, totally out of control.
He's so out of his mind.
Stone, but I wish he was a stud, you know. He's a nice guy. I'd like to do a song here, ladies and gentlemen, that one of the prettiest goddamn love songs I've heard in my life. Man, I'll tell you.
Nice segue.
No, it is. It's just one of the prettiest songs I've ever heard in my life. I've never sung it. I've never recorded it. I never liked the damn thing until I found out. Damn, I got a toothache.
Man.
Damn, I got a toothache. Hold on, back it up. I got to hear that whole sequence again.
Mm-hmm.
This is one of the prettiest goddamn love songs I've ever heard.
I think this is the prettiest. I never really liked it.
Oh, God. Oh, I got a toothache.
Man, oh, man.
So just stream of consciousness.
All over the road.
This is E. Since you know. Stone, but I wish he was a stud, you know. He's a nice guy.
Here's a segue.
I'd like to do a song here, ladies and gentlemen, that one of the prettiest goddamn love songs I've heard in my life, man. I'll tell you.
No,
it is. It's just one of the prettiest songs I've ever heard in my life. I've never sung it. I've never recorded it. I never liked the damn thing until I found out. I got a toothache. Well, I found out the story behind why it was written, and then I really didn't like it because I don't like that type of stuff. So, next song, no. Now, this is a true story of a song. It's been around for a long time. Should I take this belt out, really? It's going to cut me, castrate me, do something, you know. Really, I can't do that. I got things to do, places, you know, places to go. And
so, he's asking him to take his belt off.
Yes. Yeah.
Right.
And he's got a toothache.
He's got a toothache.
And he's about to sing one of the best goddamn songs, love songs ever.
One of the prettiest he's ever heard that he doesn't like.
And he just had his wife buy him a $42,000 Rolls Royce, but she wants a stud.
Yeah, studs.
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 Studs. She wants a stud.
Yeah, ma'am.
Now, this belt's going to castrate me.
Secret cities and chicks and all that jazz, you know. Look, I just can't. Be careful. Be careful, son. Careful. Don't get it caught in the cord, I'll die, you know. Electrocute my ass, and I mean, excuse me, folks, I just mumbled that. Oh! Damn, it's that tight, you cut off my hair, man, I can't sing.
How great is this?
You know, I sing from down in the gut, any round shoe soles. You'll never get up here.
What was that?
Who are you talking to?
I sing from down in the gut.
Are you lonesome tonight?
Shoe soles.
Shoe soles.
Shoe soles?
Things from his shoe soles.
Mm-hmm. I gotta hear that again. Sorry, I gotta back it up. Sorry.
Cut my hair off.
All right,
son.
Sorry to keep backing this up. This is damn good tape.
You know, I sing from down in the gut. Any round shoe soles. You'll never get up here. I'll tell you a story. If you don't mind, before I do this.
All right, so he's still not even, doing the song yet.
He's introducing the song, and now he's going off on another tangent.
I got a guy, Chuck, who says we missed something in this tape. Chuck,
hey Chuck,
welcome to the show. What did we miss?
Okay, there's a part. See, I'm a huge Elvis fan, so I caught it. There's a part where he's talking about the studs and the stone, and Stone wishes he was a stud. And what it was is Mike Stone was Priscilla's karate instructor, and allegedly that's who she left Elvis for.
Oh, so when he's saying Stone wishes he was a stud.
Right, he's taking a shot at Mike Stone.
And at that time, was she dating Mike Stone?
Right, and in one of the books written by Elvis's bodyguards, he was really stoned one night and approached them. He wanted them to put a hit on Mike Stone.
Oh, okay.
He wanted him taken out. So
I want you to kill.
Right. So he
kills his boyfriend, Mike.
So he's
Sloan.
Taking little shots at her boyfriend, even though he says everything's great between us.
Yeah, he's trying to have him killed.
Yeah, we've
had
he's
trying
story.
To have him killed, and he's saying, "Hey, Stone wishes he was a stud."
Do you remember when he called the bodyguards into the bedroom and he was holding a Thompson submachine gun? It was like an old Al Capone machine gun. And I would have to kill Mike Stone.
I want him dead. And they played along with it. They're like, what are we going to do?
Right.
You know? But
those poor guys.
Taking little pop shots at Mike Stone.
All right. Thank you. Appreciate that.
No problem. Thank
we're,
you.
We're not able to follow that. I mean, who can follow this?
Stone was just studs. Show that ring, that son of a bitch.
So he's going to introduce the song. I know we got to do a break here, Robin. Hold on. He's going to introduce the song, but now he's getting off on another tangent.
It's tight. You cut off my hair, man. I can't sing.
Yeah, because he's having his belt adjusted.
You know, I sing from down in the gut. He has shoe soles. He'll never get up here. I'll tell you a story, if you don't mind, before I do this. So this little young lady right here. Her name is Judy Spreckles.
Oh, okay. All right. We're going to stop there.
There we go.
Okay.
Judy Spreckles.
This is possibly the greatest Elvis tape we've ever heard.
The man keeps on giving.
He's so effed up. This makes the tape with the freaks that carry your luggage up to the room.
Oh, absolutely.
That sounds like the Declaration of Independence.
You know how much mileage we got out of that one.
Four score and seven. Ladies and gentlemen, this is the toughest goddamn song I've ever had to...
This is a pretty goddamn song. This is the prettiest song I've ever heard. I don't like it.
Mrs. Lincoln, stand up. Stand up right now.
Yeah, Stone, stud, stone.
Stone that ring.
Ladies and gentlemen, $42,000 Rolls Royce. Oh,
Elvis. Lovely. Yeah, castrate me.
Come on, man.
He goes, I would like to sing...
I sing for my shoe soul.
I hate this goddamn song. Okay, we will continue with...
God, I got a toothache.
The best of Elvis in a second.
This is the Don and Mike Show. Elvis Presley died today at Baptist Hospital in Memphis, Tennessee. Presley was 42 years old. He parlayed a $4 visit to a recording studio into a multi-million dollar career. He was rushed to the hospital late this afternoon, suffering from what officials say was respiratory distress. Hospitalized several times in recent years for rest and for eye problems. Musical style and his showmanship kept teenage girls sighing and swooning in the late 1950s.
Good.
Now, tone down 20% for your listening pleasure. The Don and Mike Show.
Phone number. National number 877-365-3636. And from Washington, D.C., the most powerful city in the world, 202-432-1067. Get right back to the Elvis tape.
All right.
Still have not heard anything from Who Wants to Be a Millionaire.
You're still on alert until 5 o'clock today, right?
Right. On alert today and tomorrow, both days, to be Mick Foley, Mankind's.
You're number one on his list.
First lifeline. So, most likely I'll get the call unless he just... goes through all the questions, doesn't need any help.
Yeah, if he blazes a trail.
Goes all the way to $1 million. All right, back to the Elvis tape. We've set it up enough. Let's just get right back to it.
So this little young lady right here, her name is Judy Spreckles.
Oh, okay, this is where we are.
And let me tell you a story about her. When I came to Hollywood, I was 20 years old. Do love me tender. Her family was the Spreckles Sugar family. You've heard of those, haven't you? Yeah, well, I guess everybody has because, you know, it's a big company. She gave me Black Star Sapphire ring that I kept up until Priscilla and I were married. And Priscilla used it as an engagement ring. This lady right here did. 20 years ago.
All the poor mooks in the audience having to applaud for this now. Keep in mind...
Here, I continue my tribute to materialism.
And keep in mind that this all started now with... I want to introduce my ex-wife, my daughter, my girlfriend.
And now this broad that probably banged me 20 years ago.
And in the middle of all of this, he was going to do the worst goddamn love song he's ever heard in his life.
Which he hasn't gotten around to yet, Jack.
Really, what you got to get to, Jack, is the fact that he starts talking about the song at the beginning, which is going to build me a mountain, is not about him. And all this to get to another song, which I guarantee you're going to enjoy.
The best Elvis tape ever.
Judy Spreckles. I don't know where she's been. She's been married off in the hills, flying into jets and climbing trees and all kinds of stuff. Yeah. Riding horses. She's a wild woman, you know, but she did that, and she comes down here once in a while to check on me. So anyway, let me tell you about this song.
Okay, back to the song.
The story of a man who's dying in a hospital.
Yeah,
his wife had been sitting by his bedside for 3 days and three nights. Somewhere on the third night, between midnight and day, she lay down beside him and dozed off to sleep softly. Well, he felt it when she dozed off to sleep.
Jesus. Oh, my God.
And I hope you quit writing the glasses that I'll tell a story, please.
Wow.
What did he just say?
Who can tell? Well, what did he just say? Did you figure it out, Rob?
Yeah, because I've listened to it a lot of times. I wish you'd stop rattling your glasses until I finish telling the story.
Oh, really?
He's in the showroom.
People in the audience?
Now he's getting diva. It's diva Elvis.
Well, he's got to tell his story. And I want you to notice when he gets to the song, he's not singing. He's just talking through it.
Right. All right. Back it up. I want to hear him again yell at the people about rattling their glasses.
God.
E. Sleep. And I hope you quit writing the glasses that I'll tell a story, please. He was dying, and he felt her when she lay down beside him. And he didn't want her to see him passing away.
He was.
So he took his notepad from the side of the bed. Very quietly wrote softly, softly, I believe, softly, softly.
Is there somebody else in the band singing?
That's not Elvis singing, right?
No, that's a guy named Sherrill Nielsen. And then, so it's Elvis doing a spoken word piece.
How's those tickets cost?
So I leave you. So I leave you. Softly, softly.
Well, I could be a singer if that's all it took, just saying the words. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Well, somebody else sings them.
Long before you are.
And he's not even doing that right.
No.
Can make me stay for one more hour.
This is like a big break. Fast forward.
Yeah, it's horrible.
Just fast forward there. Let me know when he's done singing.
I want to hear more Gigi Spreckles.
When he's done speaking. Spoken word, Elvis.
Mm-hmm.
God damn. It's good, though. Oh, it's very good. Is he about done with the song here?
He finishes up the song. Now, Ed, a lot of people will know that Elvis always takes time out another break to introduce the band.
Right.
And now he's recognizing, quote-unquote, famous people in his audience.
Oh, great. Okay, good. Here we go.
No, I'm going to get... There's a guy in the audience... I got sick one night last week and I had a temperature of about 102. Wait a minute. Don't fall to 102 temperature. No, I had a temperature. It was a flu going on in this town and all my employees were dropping like flies. And I was in, they were in the room with me, you know, give me dress and they're breathing in my face and get me dressed. So I caught the flu and I'm...
They were getting me,
get me dressed.
Get me out of my diaper.
Saran wrap.
They get me dressed and breathing on me.
Breathe in my face, Jack. Don't breathe in my face, Jack. Which I don't like to do. I've only missed about 6 or 7 nights in 19 years from illness. You know.
You're a hero, Elvis. You're the man.
To me, a germ is an enemy, and I hate the son of a bitch, and I'll fight it.
How appropriate is that today?
Hold on, back it up. Wait a minute, back it up.
Germ is the enemy.
Does he do a karate chop on the germ?
Germ is the enemy, son of a bitch. Uh-huh. And then does he sneeze?
Or does he go...
Oh, he goes like he's shooting a gun?
Pretends to shoot.
Okay, here we go.
So, to me, a germ is an enemy, and I hate the son of a bitch, and I'll fight it. You know, and that's why I went to the hospital once in my life. Once in my life.
Where was I?
And then it was only for 3 days because I had a little bronchial trouble in the tubes. And they, you know how they do in the hospital, they check you for everything in the world, man. I mean, liver, you know, they'll find something wrong with you. They'll create something if you ain't got it.
Colon.
That guy took a liver biopsy. You know what a liver test is? You know what a liver, you know what it does? The doctor comes in and says, don't look at me. Turns your head, takes a needle, this long, goes, right between your ribs, pulls out a piece of your liver. I swear to God, that's it. John, you know what I'm talking about.
John.
And so I said, He said, I don't move for 24 hours. And here I was. I just, damn, what do you do to me? I was. I swear to God, I saw him out of the corner of my eye because I can't help it. I'm trained that way. He looked like a samurai warrior. He said,
what?
I'm trained that way.
He's so effed up.
I'm trained with my black belt, Jack.
He's so effed up.
Put a needle, man. You know, fastest son I've ever seen in my life, won't you? Anyway, I got sick.
This is gold.
Philip volunteered his services to come in and fill in for me. He was way up north somewhere working or getting a TV show. He does so much. He volunteered to come in and work this show for me. And now that he's been here ever since, he'll open here tomorrow night. I'd like to thank him, Bill Cosby.
Now, here's what's funny.
Wow.
Thank you, Elvis. No. Here's what's funny.
Bill Cosby's not there.
Oh, really? Oh, my God.
Bill Cosby's not in the crowd.
No, where are you, buddy? What? Where's the Bill? I haven't seen Bill yet. Where's Cosby? You mean after that build-up that son of a bitch left? Well, the hell with him. I won't pay him anyway. No, I'm only kidding. No, he gets $10,000. I give him that whether he likes it or not. Just stick it up his nose.
Wow.
Oh, hey, well, we had stories about that.
We've heard about that, man.
Interesting. Hey, man.
That son of a bitch, Cosby.
Cosby takes all his money and puts it up his nose.
There's a lady in the audience. I'd like to introduce you to her. She's been to see my show twice before.
This is wonderful.
The reason we have a mutual respect...
Mutual.
Because the only way we know how to sing is from the gut out. Both of us. And you know who I'm talking about?
No. Who else?
Her name is Vicky Carr.
Now she's there.
Hi, Miss Vicky.
Now she's there, right?
Right. And
didn't he bang Vicky Carr too at one point?
I'm sure he did.
And I don't know if you heard her there. He's saying when she stands up again, turn around. That's the thing with the girl. Turn around.
Now, what's about to happen, you need to know that on this bootleg, two songs before this, he sang the song It's Now or Never.
Right.
Already done it in the concert.
So he's already sang It's Now or Never.
Okay.
And I'm sure that's significant.
Turn around. There you go.
Now, turn around.
Yeah. Now, she's working. You're working where, honey? She's working at the Tropicana. You didn't change. It's okay. Don't make excuses to me. Sit down. No. Thank you, Vicky. But anyway, did you hear It's Now or Never? Did you hear the song It's Now or Never? Oh, God, now I got to do it again. It's Now or Never. When I first saw you...
He did it before.
You're one of the poor schmucks at this concert.
Mm-hmm.
He's rambling between the songs.
Right.
Two songs ago, he sang It's Now or Never.
And then he wants to do it again because it's probably one of the few he can remember.
And Vicky Carr wasn't there to hear it.
Right, and he does. I cut out the middle of the song so you don't have to listen to the whole thing. But he does a full 2.5 minute version of it. And when he starts, the idiots in the crowd clap again.
When I first saw you...
Bravo, Elvis.
Way to go, Elvis. Thanks for singing the song twice.
We just heard this, but thank you.
Oh.
Wow. Holy.
Damn.
He's fine.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
We've done it once, but we did it again. Oh, dear.
Did you know about how we...
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Let me show you something for those of you who may not be too observant.
You may not be too observant.
I put this on because I want your all's input on it because I listened to it six times, and if you're not too observant, I have no idea what he's talking
about.
Okay.
All right, here we go. Let's all play the Cypher Elvis.
All right.
I'm not going to embarrass Kathy, but I'm going to show you what I was doing to her then. She was having to sing on microphone. Come here. I wonder. So I'm singing. I do love you. Watch my left hand. With all watch. My exactly what I was doing. She had tears in her eyes. Like that.
Was she grabbing her genitals?
Oh, Lord.
I think she was giving her the six-pack treatment.
Watch my left hand if you're not.
Is it just some broad from the audience?
No, no, this is Kathy Westmoreland, another one of his singers, but I have no idea what he's doing
to her.
I'll
touch your taint.
I'd like to thank my engineer, Mr. Bill Porter, who handles all the sound. I have. Bill?
These poor guys had to work with Elvis.
I'd like you folks to meet my father. He's in the audience somewhere. I'd like him to stand up. Dad, where are you?
Yeah, is he there? Oh, yeah. Oh, the dad's there.
Daddy, come out here a minute.
Daddy?
Turn around. There he is. There he is. Daddy? Thank you, Daddy.
Hi, Daddy.
My manager, Colonel Tom Parker, where is he?
Hey, Colonel Tom.
Is the Colonel around anywhere?
He's not there either.
Oh, he's out, you know, he's out playing roulette. Don't kid me. I know what he's doing. Tim and Cosby out there talking mash and drinking trash or whatever. Anyway, ladies and gentlemen, I want to tell you a little bit about this jewelry that I got on.
And it's really, the expression is talking trash, drinking mash.
Drinking mash. Right. Now, another thing, this is Elvis's, you've already heard him talking jewelry. He's at his top jewelry, of the top of the jewelry crest here. This is when, in his traveling entourage, he had a jeweler with him so he could buy jewelry 24 hours a day. So he wants to stop the show down now to talk about his jewelry.
Buying okay. Jewelry.
I can't think about the jewelry. Hell, you know. These rocks? Now, this thing, I got them worn the Hawaii special, you know, and people thought it was one big stone, and it's not. It's 11 and a half carat stone, which is pretty big, you know. It's the biggest I've ever seen. And anyway, this next to Elizabeth, I think she's got the biggest one. I think you're right. And that's the biggest diamond, too.
God damn. Was that another mention about the stone guy?
No,
he's talking about Elizabeth Taylor.
Elizabeth Taylor.
Yeah, I know, but he said like the biggest stone.
Oh, really?
No, I don't think he's that clever. I think he's just talking rings.
Good boy. This thing here I had designed for the stage. It's got all different shapes of diamonds, pear shaped, square shaped, ball, whatever. You know, so the stage. This I got tonight for you.
Tonight.
Yeah, really. I got it. He's got it tonight, because I got the suit, the closing. And the reason I'm telling you this, because I think you ought to know it, you have paid for.
Good night. Good night.
And he's supposed to say you have paid for it. You have paid for.
You have paid for.
Good night. That's the end of the show? That's it.
Good show. So if he ends the show by showing them his jewelry.
And saying you have paid for it.
His 11.5-carat diamond ring saying.
And saying you. He said you have paid for.
You have paid for. Have good paid
night.
For.
Good night.
Good night.
And also, very little singing on his behalf in this, right. In this song.
There he goes. That's the latest we have, everybody.
Good. Good.
Bravo, Elvis.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Great.
Rambling, stumbling, bumbling, bumbling.
That
worth it.
Good.
You pay for it. This is jewelry.
Elvis Aaron Presley.
You pay for it.
Still giving, man.
Turn around.
Turn around, Daddy.
Miss Vicky Carr.
Where's Bill Cosby?
Son of a bitch.
Yeah, man.
I'm $10,000.
Elvis knows. Colonel Tom Parker.
All right, Elvis, he keeps giving. God damn it, he keeps giving.
In a world where owning a radio was strictly forbidden, one man found a way to bring good news to his people.
Yeah.
He made it up.
And Elvis gives me an ice cream headache every time he does.
Yeah, towards the end, it does get to you.
You pay for it. Buzz, what is the lead story tonight?
Well, coming up later, Larry Hagman on acid, but our top story this afternoon, the vice president sees his shadow.
Okay, gotcha. Oh, right. I get it, Buzz, because he went to New York. Yes. He left his hiding place. Okay, stay tuned, everybody.
Stay tuned.
Stay tuned.
For news and comments.
News and comments.
Coming up on the Don and Mike Show.
You paid for it. That was very...
That's professional, Jack.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
What's the word from Planet Crackpot?
Live from the Pegasus,
right.
The Don and Mike Show.
Oh,
thank you, sweet Jesus.
I just realized, because the baseball's on and stuff, there's a football game on tonight.
There's a game on tonight.
Yeah, there's not a Sunday night game on, because they're going to be playing a baseball on Sunday night.
Right. Who's playing tonight?
They, both teams have sucked my D. It's Buffalo and Jacksonville.
Yeah.
I'll watch it, though.
I know you will.
I'll watch it. I'll watch the whole goddamn thing. Still no Lifeline news from Mick Foley and Mankind from Who Wants to Be a Millionaire.
You never know.
We're going to be bowling next Wednesday night. The 0-2 Gunner Balls take on the Job Squad.
Yeah, in Jersey.
Next Wednesday night we'll be at the Jersey Lanes in Linden, New Jersey. They're located at 30 Park Avenue. We'll see you there tomorrow on the show. Dennis Murphy will be discussing his porno shoot.
Ooh.
Saturday, he's making his porno movie.
Wow. That's right.
Also tomorrow on the show, brand new low-budget Jeff RD for you.
Dave.
Chuck Stossel, the Love Muscle. I promise we'll make lots of four-hour club calls tomorrow.
Good.
And when we pick the pros till they scab and bleed tomorrow, oh, everybody's favorite Hayseed, Lil Abner, Terry Bradshaw.
Terry Bradshaw!
Fox NFL Sunday. He'll be discussing his many divorces and the fact that Howie Long is not allowed to look at Jillian Barbary.
Fascinating.
During Fox NFL Sunday show.
Right. Very good.
All of that tomorrow. Now here with news is Buzz Burbank with today's headlines. Hi, Buzz.
Hi, Don and Mike. Vice President Cheney came out of seclusion today. He's kept a low profile in recent weeks. He was taken to a bunker beneath the White House right after the September 11th attacks. Since then, he's been at another secure location for security reasons. Today, the Vice President gets his first look at the wreckage of New York's World Trade Center. His view will be much different than the one the President saw 3 days after the attack. Since then, workers have removed, are you ready for this, nearly 340,000 tons of debris. And today, a skyscraper across the street opens, signaling the rebirth of the city's financial district. A truckload of hazardous materials has vanished from Morris County, New Jersey. Now a nationwide alert is out for the tractor trailer filled with fertilizer and pesticide. Pesticide, of course, is poison. Fertilizer, a common ingredient in homemade explosives. The truck was stolen Tuesday from Parsippany. At the time, it had hazmat placards, the word Penske on the side of its yellow cab, and the word Rockland on the side of the white trailer.
Christ. This is good smoke.
Christ, what is wrong with people?
Now, honest to God, and you know, how do they, I don't understand how trucks that carry that kind of stuff
are so easily stolen.
Yes.
Good question. Fair question.
Dumbasses.
No answer.
DAs.
Super DAs.
You bought it.
Now a CBS employee who works for Dan Rather is infected with anthrax. It's not clear yet how she got it, but that means all three of the biggest commercial networks have gotten the bacteria.
Now, you know, CBS had been waiting.
The woman at CBS reportedly feels fine. She has the skin type, which is the kind Tom Brokaw's assistant got.
Because tonight Dan Rather can go on and milk that the way that Brokaw was able to go on and milk that.
Dan Rather, CBS News.
Oh, dear. Yeah, he'll be able to talk about how brave he is.
Mm-hmm. Dan's already had a news conference this afternoon.
Yeah.
Met with reporters from other networks.
I don't want to let you know too much about tomorrow's show, but we might be having an exclusive interview here with Dan Rather on tomorrow's show.
Dan Rather, CBS News.
Courage. And we've just received word this afternoon that a postal worker in Trenton, New Jersey has contracted anthrax. The worker may have handled the anthrax letters sent to Tom Brokaw and Tom Daschle. A second Trenton postal worker is also being tested for exposure. That post office has been shut down, even though it normally handles mail from 46 post offices throughout central New Jersey.
Our salute to postal workers everywhere. You got to keep in mind that with this anthrax thing, with guys like Buzz, and I'm going to lump you with the rest of them, Buzz.
Okay.
Guys like Buzz who get on and say, you know, another guy's infected with anthrax, another guy's, you know, another guy's got the anthrax. All these people generally, they take the...
It proved to be okay.
The antibiotics.
Oh, yeah.
And they're okay.
Absolutely. There has been one fatality, and we should point out
right.
That was the very first case. That's
right.
Before we knew how to handle this.
And the only fatality, as a matter of fact. And I have more good news about that, but the feds are now offering $1 million reward.
You'll push that to the back of the news.
Right. No, it's coming up next, but I want to tell you first that they're now offering $1 million reward for whoever turns in the people mailing the anthrax.
Oh, well then.
In the case...
Where's my million?
Come on, send him in.
In the cases involving the more sophisticated anthrax, the kind with spores small enough to enter the lungs, government officials suspect Iraq, which bought some of the former Soviet Union's old biological warfare equipment. In the past 18 days, though, officials have answered more than 3,300 reports of bioterrorist threats. Every report is investigated, but most have proved to be hoaxes.
Yeah, that's something I saw, I think, on maybe the Fox News channel, where, and the part of this is ridiculous, they've got one of them 3D maps of the world.
Right.
And they're drawing like John Madden does with a telestrator, okay? Mm-hmm. Where they're showing you where Pakistan is and Afghanistan.
Right.
And then they're going like to, they're showing you that, well, South Korea has some biological weapons. And then right. they circle North Korea. Mm-hmm. And then the globe spins and you see Russia. Real big up there, Russia.
Huge.
And they draw a circle around where it says on the map, Russia. I mean, it says Russia, but they draw a circle around it. And here's the point that they're making. What they say is, Russia's got all of these biological weapons, these weapons of mass destruction. Mm-hmm. They've signed a treaty with us mm-hmm. to destroy them.
Right.
But because their economy is in such a bad state of affairs,
yeah.
they're like having a going out of business sale.
Sell them.
So in essence, what they're doing is... Attention, comrades! We've got special deal for you on all sorts of bioterrorism stuff. Anthrax! Our prices are insane!
You get cash, we get the thing for you to steal.
I'm Crazy Ivan!
And I am Bunko Boris!
I mean, this really effed up.
Not
well,
good.
Yeah, it's because after the Cold War... Russia stopped protecting, its labs that had this kind of
and
stuff.
And they ran out of money.
So now they're selling this stuff. Travis, hi.
How are you?
Hey.
Hey, Buzz.
Yeah.
Is there anything else in the news besides anthrax that you could inform us on?
Absolutely.
You know, that was, with no offense to Buzz, mm-hmm. that's exactly the point I was making to everybody on the news. It's the anthrax.
I'm tired of it.
I understand that, and I'm tired of it too, but wouldn't you be equally upset with me if I didn't tell you anything about it, if I withheld information from you?
Well, unless there's something to, I mean, I think I know what this dude's talking about, unless there's something... Major, I mean, you know, unless someone's dead or something.
Well, I thought you'd be pleased to know that four people are now facing federal charges for making false threats. That the
I'd rather have the people in custody making the real threats.
That the anthrax found in the Manhattan office of New York's governor was tracked in by the police. It didn't come in a letter.
Anthrax is nothing, though. It's like sending poison.
Wait, you know, that is
all the skewers that we have.
All right.
Yeah.
That is a huge story. It was tracked in by the cops.
80 of George Pataki's staffers went home in a panic yesterday after tests at the office turned up positive. At first, they thought the bacteria had arrived in a suspicious letter, but the letter tested negative. The shoes of the police, who had been at NBC and ABC first, tested positive.
Oh, we're sorry.
And I got to talk about the lawmakers.
These are incredible.
Before we go to break, the anthrax found on Capitol Hill was found in the office of a senator, but the Senate stayed open for business. Meanwhile, the House of Representatives, a half mile away, put its collective tail between its legs and ran, even though no anthrax was found in any of its offices. The Senate wanted to show the world's not such a dangerous place, that we should follow the president's advice about going on with our lives. The House, meanwhile, sent a message of cowardice. The lawmakers' medical expert says the House leaders are overreacting and blowing the issue out of proportion, and today... The tests are back on hundreds of the people they tested on Capitol Hill.
Yeah.
All negative. No anthrax.
There you go.
None. The House has gone home. Goodbye.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, they're coming back like Tuesday, right?
Yeah, next Tuesday. They'll be back.
Pussies. What a big 5-day week.
Need a little time off.
Yeah, really. Well, they were supposed to, before everything happened, they were supposed to be recessed now anyway, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, they get more vacation time than we do.
They do.
Christ. And I thought we had the record once Johnny Carson retired.
Yeah, but we do more good.
Yeah, we goddamn right we do.
And that's the end of the anthrax news. Everything else is different.
Oh, well.
Transition music.
Yeah, let's do one non-anthrax story before we got a break here.
We hit a good target yesterday in our 10th day of bombing in Afghanistan. We hit the Taliban's Ministry of Vice and Virtue. They're the punks who beat women in public for the dastardly crime of wearing nail polish or walking outdoors without a male relative. They're the freaks who force men to wear beards of a certain length. They're the evil force behind the ban on movies and television. Having wiped out most of the military buildings in Afghanistan, U.S. pilots are now going after clusters of Taliban troops on the ground, especially along the front lines of the Taliban's battle against the Afghans who have dared to rebel.
And still keep their edge.
All right, well, thank you, Buzz. We got a break. We'll come back with the rest of the newscast.
Yeah.
Anthrax free.
Anthrax
Yay!
Free.
Be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show. A wop bopalooba, a wop bamboom. Making a daily commitment in the eyes of God.
Right.
Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
Hey, big news for you guys at the Beach Towel Club. Yeah. Lisa, do you want to make that announcement?
Yeah, the pictures are up on
No. The announcement you just told us.
Don't ask. I'll be right back.
She's going number two.
Come on.
She's going to take a dump.
Girls don't do that. What are you talking about?
And there's a certain amount of men in our audience.
Oh, yeah.
Who wind up. I'm talking to you Blumpkin lovers out there. I just want to let you know that the lovely and competent Lisa Herndon is about to go put her beautiful ass.
There's a segment of the audience you have made their afternoon.
I think I'm going to wait about 20 minutes now so guys won't be thinking about it anymore.
Wait a minute. Rob Spiewak has something to contribute.
Ladies and gentlemen, just imagine the divine squattery about to take place.
Oh, God.
But she brings it on herself, you know, by making the announcement.
You know what? She comes in here and she tells us, I'm going number two.
No.
You know when I said you've made the audience, certain audience members, you also made his day.
Yeah.
Well, because I love to see her go through it. It's very funny.
It's funny.
Funny.
Well, you know, you shouldn't tell us. Shouldn't tell us.
Sorry.
But guys, think about it right now.
Mm-hmm.
That's what she's going to go do.
Right.
Go ahead. Let's time you.
Okay, hold on a second. Wait till I get to the door.
Okay, ready?
All right, there she goes.
And
go!
Mark. All right, come back when you're done.
Very
come
good.
Back when you're done. Oh, no. Nothing like that.
No.
Nothing like that from Lisa. And the clock is rolling on Lisa's dump.
Very good.
Hi, Buzz.
Hi, Don and Mike. Sometimes the short stories are the best. One sentence from the Associated Press. Defense sources say U.S. Special Forces are in place and ready for any search and destroy missions ordered against Osama bin Laden and his Taliban allies. That's how far we've come.
Oh. Hold on, I got a guy on Capitol Hill. Weren't we just talking about Capitol Hill a second ago?
Yeah, we were talking about Capitol Hill, mm-hmm.
Yeah. Is he one of the pussies?
The House, it could be the Senate or the House on Capitol Hill.
Chris!
House! Yeah, Don, Mike.
Hi, Chris.
Mr. Millwood.
Yes.
How are you?
I'm good, thank you.
Good to hear it, bud. Yeah. I work on Capitol Hill, and we're not in today.
Yeah.
And that's because the Senate also closed their doors. It's only the senators there meeting for a while, and they won't even let any staffers in.
Yeah, but the Senate is at least still in session, whereas the 435 House members have gone home to their home district.
Well, Buzz, so how brave are those senators if they're not opening their own mail?
Well, they never open their own mail, do they?
Well, no, but they claim to be brave. But
no, wait, you're arguing a point.
The Senate
is still in session.
Yes, and has not claimed to be brave.
What's that?
The Senate is in session and has not made the claim that they're brave.
No, but they said they're not going to be thwarted by this evil terror.
Yes.
But at the same time, they're allowing all of their body shields, called staff, to continue to open their...
Hold on, excuse me, let me break in and...
Wow,
you back. I find it impossible to believe
that
in 1 minute and 31 seconds...
I swear to God.
You had a growler?
Yes.
A minute 31.
I swear to God.
That's a diet.
Did you wipe?
Oh, shoot, I knew I forgot something.
Ah!
I wiped.
I mean, God, that's fast.
I'm a quick S. It's kind of like, it's the truth, but I am.
I think men and women are different that way.
Wow.
Now, don't get me wrong, just like the rest of everybody, I can take my time, but typically I'm a pretty quick. Thank you. Yes.
All right,
sounded
there you
a
go.
Little bit like that.
1 minute, 31 seconds. Thank you, Lisa.
Thank you, Don.
Now, good day to you, ma'am.
Good day to you.
Good day to you, ma'am.
Oh, Jesus.
What?
This is funny. You're killing me.
Is the guy from Capitol Hill still on the phone?
Yeah, I'm still here.
Yeah, right. What's your point?
I don't care.
Hang on, go away.
I don't know. 877-365-3636. That's the number.
Everybody's a pussy.
Everybody's been calling.
Argument over.
You call now and be the 100th caller. I think he wanted to pick a fight with Buzz.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, and be the 100th caller now and win a prize, okay? Good luck. Call Lisa.
Buzz got sick in the hospital.
And now back to Buzz. Hi, Buzz.
And now the Purple Life section. A new study says the intellectual impairment associated with heavy marijuana use is reversible. According to the study, all you have to do is stop using the stuff for at least 4 weeks. The study defines heavy use as a daily user who smoked the stuff at least 5,000 times. A controlled study says quitting pot also leads to weight loss.
This is good smoke.
New story.
Oh, wait. Quitting pot leads to weight loss?
Weight loss, yeah.
Sure. Okay.
Yeah.
Hello.
It doesn't take much to noodle after.
Okay, no. Quitting pot leads to weight loss.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay. I used to smoke a lot of pot.
Yeah.
Okay. I don't smoke pot anymore.
Right.
I haven't smoked any pot for about 3 years.
Right.
Take a look.
Okay. You weren't in the control. Maybe you should have been in the control study.
I have not gotten high for like over 3 years. Not that I'm counting, but I've not smoked pot in over 3 years.
Where's the weight? Gone. Where'd it go?
Don't know. I mean, I know where it is. Look at it. It's on my belly. Look at this. I mean, by that, I should be a skinny guy.
Yeah, but it's just like his story, you're a hell of a lot smarter than you used to be, too.
What?
What? New story I promised from the Larry Hagman file. J.R. did acid. He admits it in his new autobiography, Hello, Darling.
Isn't that right, Jeannie?
Jeannie, I think I'm going to peel myself like an orange, Jeannie. I just put my cowboy hat on, and look at all the multicolors coming around the rainbow.
In the book, he says he was obsessed in 1967 with the concept of tripping. Quote,
picture yourself.
Peter Fonda took me to see Crosby, Stills, and Nash. Before we left, David handed me a handful of tabs. It was the purest acid available.
Hey, Jeannie, I got great acid, Jeannie. Yes, sir. I'll climb right down in that bottle with you. Jeannie, I'm going to force myself in that bottle, Jeannie.
He then describes his hallucinations, which include an octopus, lions with feathers, and his grandma.
Hey, listen to this. That's my skull, Jeannie. I'm so wasted.
Hagman says he also did pot and mushrooms all while he was making...
Where are mushrooms, Jeannie?
I dream of Jeannie.
Jeannie, mushrooms around here, Jeannie? Oh, man, pictures of the rainbow. Look at that, multicolor.
The University of South Carolina will keep its nickname the Fighting Gamecocks.
Hey, the Gamecocks, Jeannie.
The school's president had been asked to change the nickname, not by the prudish, but by animal rights activist.
Go Cox.
Gamecock is a rooster trained and prepped to name and kill other roosters in the name of gambling.
Angry cocks.
Gambling.
Especially if you feed us shrooms, Jeannie.
The practice is considered so barbaric it's illegal in most states. In fact, even in South Carolina, cockfighting's been illegal since 1887.
You know, last night we got that compliment when we were actually bowling.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because we were so feisty and we were putting up such a good fight, a lot of the people on the other side of the aisle said, we are really game cocks.
Or cocks, sure.
The school's president says the nickname stays.
Mm-hmm.
In sports, the Yankees and Mariners play game two of the American League Championship Series tonight. The Yanks won game one. Yarmir Yager is getting a 5-year contract extension worth nearly $16 million from the Washington Capitals.
And their
dishwasher safe. The new deal would make
him a
4-time scoring champ, I think I do, the NHL's highest paid player. The New York Islanders host the Carolina Hurricanes tonight. The Isles beat the Canes last night 4-0. It was their 5th straight victory on the road. The first place Islanders posted a league low 21 wins last season. And Chris Wenke's status is up in the air. The Carolina Panthers quarterback sat out yesterday's workout because of a thigh injury.
That is the official best name in the NFL. Hey, show me your Wenke.
Wenke's.
Chris Wenke.
The Panthers aren't sure whether Wenke will be able to play Sunday against Washington.
Okay, I'll do a down and out on two. This is Chris Wenke from the Carolina Panthers.
Show us your Wenke.
And finally...
Okay, we're gonna go on 69, okay? Down. Fat. Where's my center, Matt Elliott?
Holy winky.
It's a perfect lead-in for the last story. America's first bank for gays and lesbians is going out of business.
You can only make deposits.
Oh.
No withdrawals.
G&L Bank out of Pensacola, Florida, shutting down its website January 3rd unless the former bank president buys it.
Winky watcher.
Penalty for early withdrawal.
The bank says the slumping economy and the challenges of the internet are to blame, but managers say, don't worry, all the deposits are insured.
You.
I'm Buzz Burbank on the Don and Mike Show.
Sorry, we're out of time.
Instead of a bank vault, they got some guy's ass.
Right.
Because you want to make a deposit.
They're right. Safe there.
You got to put a rubber glove on.
Mm-hmm.
All right. This is a thank you to Stacy Kibble. I'm getting it wrong.
Keebler.
Stacy Keebler. From WCW, WWF, and WWF No Mercy pay-per-view this Sunday at 8 o'clock. She'll be wrestling in her underwear, in her lingerie. She was on the show today. Come see Lisa tonight. She's a pound liner. She will be at Bennigan's in Springfield, Virginia. Bennigan's is located by entrance number 2 in the Springfield Mall in Springfield, Virginia. Hello there, Don and Mike Show.
100.
David.
Right. Yes, you are. What's your name?
Ricardo Provolone.
Ricardo Provolone. Where are you?
Get it?
Well, yeah. Where are you from, Dick Cheese?
From Columbia.
You want a 26-week rental card from Blockbuster, good for a free DVD every week.
Yeah! That's great. Thanks, guys.
You're very welcome. It's a great prize. Vote for your favorite NFL All-Star players, the Pro Bowl, at your participating Blockbuster. All right, Ricardo, thank you.
Thank you.
All right, have a great day.
Good day to you,
sir. We will be back tomorrow with the all-new episode. Thanks for another good show today, everybody. Good day to you, sir.
Good day to you, sir.
Good day to you, sir.
Good day to you, Doc.
And Rob.
Good day to you, sir.
Good day to you.
Good day to you, ma'am.
Please. I said good day.
Good day to you. Throw your hat in the air just like Sidney Tyler. More.
You might just make
Meow.
Give me the respect I'm entitled.
Meow, we will see you tomorrow.
And
bye-bye.
Till we meet again, this is Sammy Davis Jr. saying, be kind, be nice, and I hope the next performer has the pleasure of having as nice an audience as you've been tonight. And let me leave you swinging.
This is the Don and Mike Show.